listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. You have found WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists. It is Tuesday, obviously, and we're ready for another installment of Radio Vault. Going to do a little bit of a encore presentation for some of the features tonight, but not all. On tap in just a few moments, we will be going to one of the wartime episodes of the Jack Benny program from 1944. We have also on tap Fibber McGee and Molly, the Great Gildersleeve, and George Burns, and Gracie Allen. And an encore presentation of the Lux Radio Theater Casablanca for hour number two. So if you're ready, we're gonna listen to this Armed Forces version of the Jack Benny program. And if you listen to this program for any length of time, you know that the Armed Forces Radio Service versions of the program are no different from the domestic versions. They just take out the commercials and replace them with music, and we'll hear a bit of that as well. But without further ado, let's go to April 30th, 1944. It's a little bit scratchy. We always try to avoid playing scratchy vinyl over the air. This is not vinyl. This is from a large 16-inch record. So it's kind of old and it's kind of scratchy, but we think you'll like it. Digitally restored. Once again, Jack Benny. This is the episode where Dick Hames substitutes for Dennis Day. So let's listen.
Women in the Armed Forces of the United Nations, a rebroadcast of The Jack Benny Show with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Jack Benny's special guest singer, and Don Wilson.
Broadcasting from the Puget Sound Navy Yard near Seattle, Washington. And I know all you boys here are anxiously waiting to be entertained. So while you're waiting, we bring you Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking. And Don, we have a pretty full script this week, so we won't linger on that introduction of yours. And anyway, after that wonderful boat trip we had from Vancouver, I'm in no mood to be mad.
Well, thanks, Jack.
And by the way, Don, we've been off the boat 3 days. You can take off that life preserver, you know? Go ahead.
Life preserver?
Yes.
I'm not wearing one.
Jack,
I wish you'd stop saying things like that. You're always giving people the impression I'm fat.
Oh, no, Don, you're not fat at all. Just that you have a little bulge around the bills. Anyway, Don, we're not here to... Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hi, fellas. Say, Jack, what were you and Don talking about?
The boat trip. How'd you like it, Mary?
Well, I thought it was a little rough.
Rough?
Certainly. Every place I went on the boat, I'd find some sailor's arm around me.
Well, what was wrong with that?
I was with a soldier at the time.
Well, that I can't understand at all.
Me either.
Well, it's very simple, fellas. When I walked around the boat, I, Don, the trip is over. Take off that life preserver.
Mary, I made the... Mary, I made the... I'm laughing at my own jokes here. You think I would... Sound like Fred Allen a little bit, don't I? No, Mary, I made the same mistake. You see, that's the one nature gave Don, a built-in revolving turret. Or, as the boys here affectionately call it, a battleship blister. You know? And incidentally, this is the last time I ever take the cast on a boat. Phil Harris told me that the trip upset him.
Well, you know how Phil is. He just doesn't like the ocean.
Yeah, it hurts Phil to see all that chaser with nothing to break trail for. And Frankie, his guitar player. Did you ever see anyone drink so much beer?
Why, Jack, Frankie doesn't drink beer.
He doesn't, eh? All I know is every time he looked over the side of the boat and saw a white cap, he tried to blow the foam off of it.
As long as this is a time for criticizing people, let's get to you.
Amia?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
That night on the boat when the whole gang sat down to dinner, it wouldn't have hurt you to pick up the check.
I was going to, but it just happened that the check was closer to Phil.
Not until you blew it there.
Mary, I was blowing my soup.
Out of the side of your mouth?
I always blow like that.
Well, you... Well, you've certainly got a good aim. Yesterday, you blew the check to Phil. The day before, you blew it to Don. And the day before...
Oh, stop, will you?
Say, Jack.
What?
How long did it take you to learn to blow a curve?
Well, it isn't easy. First, I had to have two wisdom teeth removed. And then I had... I'll take it. Hello? Hollywood calling? No, operator, he's not on the stage at the moment, but I'll get him. Phil? Hey, Phil?
Coming, Jackson. Okay, sailors, the intermission is over. Harris is here.
Phil, never mind the corny entrance. There's a long-distance call for you from Hollywood.
Oh, a long-distance call. Gee, I've been expecting this call. Hello. Yeah, well, put him on. Hiya, pal. Yeah, what is it? No kidding. Well, how about that? Gee, that's terrific. Oh, boy, wait till the gang hears about this. So long.
Phil, what is it?
Yeah, what happened?
Flat Top got away.
Well, of all the... Phil, I thought you were going to tell us about your new baby.
What new baby?
Your new baby, the one that was born Wednesday morning. I read about it in the papers.
Well, how do you like that? Them newspaper guys scooped me again.
Phil, you mean to tell me you didn't know about your baby?
No, and gee, Jackson, am I glad you read about it. Hey, Wilson, hand me that phone.
Sure, anything to help you out, Papa. Can I get the number for you?
Phil, who are you going to call?
Alice. I want to tell her the good news.
Phil, she knows. She knows.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm so excited. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I don't blame you for being excited. Congratulations.
Yes, Phil, congratulations.
That goes for me, too, Phil.
Well, thanks, fellas. Oh, say, Jackson, you didn't tell me what my new baby is. Is it a boy or a girl or a... Hey, that's all there is, ain't it?
Yes, you figure that out nicely all by yourself, Phil.
Thanks, Jackson.
Phil, your new baby is a girl.
Gee, another girl. I'm a regular Papa Dion.
Phil, he had five girls. You've only got two.
Okay, so I'm a Papa Dion JG.
Yeah, JG. J.G., but no kidding, Phil. You were only ribbing us. You knew about your baby all the time, didn't
Why,
you?
Of course, Jackson. What do you think I am, a dope?
Well, we won't go into that. Just play a band number and keep the show moving,
okay.
Will you?
Okay.
Goodbye, played by Phil Harris and his Makes You Want to Ask for Sea Duty Orchestra. And now, fellas, for our feature attraction tonight, Mary, will you please stop flirting with that sailor?
I'm not flirting with any sailor.
Now, Mary, don't deny it. With my very own eyes, I saw you winking at a sailor.
I was not. I was winking at all of them and hoped that one would wink back.
Don't be so forward. Besides, if it's a boyfriend you want, I'm still available.
Yeah.
Mary, what are you laughing at?
I want one that'll last for
the
duration.
I know. Anything for a laugh, eh, Mary? Well, don't worry about me. Anybody who can go through 3 straight hours at the beach cafe isn't made of straw, you know.
The beach cafe?
Yeah, that beach cafe is quite a place here. I was even in the back room where they do tattooing.
Tattooing?
Yeah, they tattoo back there. Look, Jackson, I'll pull up my sleeve. See? I had a wristwatch tattooed on me.
Let's see that. Say, that's the first time I ever saw a wristwatch tattooed on anybody. It looks good, too.
Yeah, but the guy gypped me. It don't run.
Oh, fine. He wants it to run yet.
And the strap is loose, too.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Now I've heard everything. Phil, as long as you got tattooed, why didn't you get something sensible? Come in. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny. Remember me? I'm Ruby Wagner, Mary Livingston's girlfriend.
Oh, yes.
Ruby, what are you doing in Bremerton?
I followed you here from Vancouver.
You did?
Yeah.
But
well, Mary,
Ruby,
here's what happened when you left
like
Vancouver.
That, when
I said goodbye, and I told you I
was going to go away from you again. I said goodbye. I never did.
I didn't want you to go.
How did you make up your mind? Tell
me what you mean.
Wait a minute. Girls, for heaven's sake, stop chipping your teeth. Take it easy, will you?
Okay. Ruby, did I hear you say you didn't like the boat ride from Vancouver?
No, the boat was filled with sailors. Gee, was I upset.
Why, did they bother you?
No.
Now, look, girls, we've got a program to do.
Ruby, you remember Jack Benny. I introduced you to him last week.
Oh, sure.
I'm happy to see you again.
Any friend of Mary's is a friend of mine.
Yes, I know.
Ruby, I think you ought to go back to Vancouver. Your family will be worried.
Oh, no, Mary. I'm going with you right to Hollywood. When I found out that you were a great radio actress, I decided to become an actress, too.
But, Ruby, radio is a hard job. It took me a long time
to... Oh, Mary, stop worrying. I'm going into pictures. You're safe.
Oh, fine. Now we got a picture star with us. Another Katherine Hepburn.
Katherine Hepburn? Listen to this.
Oh.
The color lilies are in bloom again. Really, they are. Those big, beautiful color lilies are in bloom
Ruby.
Again.
Ruby.
Really, you haven't seen...
Ruby.
Really, you haven't seen beautiful calla lilies until you see my calla lilies.
Ruby,
come
look,
the
Ruby.
Gods with me and see my calla lilies. They're such lovely calla lilies.
Miss Hepburn.
Yes?
Listen, Ruby, we've got a program to do.
Sit down, Ruby, and I'll see you right after the show.
Yeah, because right now I've got an important announcement to make. Ladies and gentlemen...
Say hello to my mother.
Not now. Ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we have a special guest on our program. As you know, last Sunday was Dennis Day's final appearance on our show before entering the Navy. So tonight, our guest is a popular young singer who in a very short time has made a great name for himself. And here he is, 20th Century Fox's new singing star, Dick Haynes.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Dick, it was awfully nice of you to come up here all the way from Los Angeles and help us out on our broadcast.
Well, I'm very glad to do it, Jack, for you and for Dennis Day. You know, Dennis and I are pretty good friends.
Well, that's swell. I'm glad to hear it. By the way, Dick, I want you to meet our gang. This is Don Wilson.
Hello, Dick.
Hello, Don. Say, Jack, who's the guy behind him?
That's still Don Wilson. And this is my orchestra leader, Phil Harris.
Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Richard. What are you going to give out when you make with them tonsils?
What?
Well, the kid's going to loosen his lungs and lay it right on the line.
Phil, what are you talking about?
Oh, Jack, he's just beating his gums with some hep jive about my hot pipes.
Oh, I get it. I was a little slow for a minute. Well, Dick, now that you've met everybody, how about singing your...
Don't mind me, Jack. I'll go out and sit with the sailors.
Oh. I'm sorry, Mary. Dick, this is Mary Livingston.
Hello, Mary. I always listen to you on the radio. Gosh, how can a girl who's so pretty say things that are so funny?
Oh, Dick, I'll bet you say that to all of us pretty girls.
Mary, don't be facetious. Go ahead, Dick. Bump your gums, kid. Bump your gums.
And me.
sung by Dick Hames, and it was really swell.
Thanks, Jack.
By the way, Dick, we're going to finish out this season with guest singers. And next Sunday, we're flying up to Whidbey Island to broadcast at the Naval Air Station. I wish you could be with us.
Well, I'd like to stay, Jack, if you can get me a better place to sleep.
But, Dick, Seattle is so congested, you should be satisfied with the place you've got.
I know, but that Bremerton ferry is so crowded.
Oh, yes. Yes, I can appreciate how noisy it is.
Well, it wouldn't be if you didn't snore so loud.
Well, it isn't my fault. The boat keeps rolling me over on my back, you know. Anyway, Dick, I'm glad that you'll be with us next Sunday.
So am I.
Huh? Oh, Dick, this is Ruby Wagner from Vancouver.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you, Miss Wagner.
Any friend of Mr. Denny's is a friend of mine.
Yes, yes, we're all friends.
You know, Mr. Hames, I think you have a beautiful voice.
Ruby.
When you sing, I could just die, and believe me, it ain't easy to kill me.
Ruby, look.
I used to listen to you all the time when
now,
I was...
Now, Ruby, stop. Now, sit down.
Oh, go button your cuffs and square your hat.
Don't mind her, Dick. She's a friend of Mary's from Vancouver.
And any friend of Mary's is a friend...
Sit down!
Say, Jack. Say, Jack, I have friends in Vancouver, too. Did you have a nice week up there?
Oh, it was wonderful. Grand.
Well, how'd you like that boat trip coming back?
From Vancouver? Oh, it was terrific. It was great for an old sailor like me. No, kid, I love the sea. I was up on that top deck for 8 hours watching...
Now, wait a minute, Jack. Why don't you tell him the truth?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. Listen, Dick, this'll kill you. We were in Vancouver. It was a half hour before boat time. And Jack was in his hotel room getting ready to leave.
Oh, Rochester. Rochester.
Yes, boss?
Rochester, we gotta hurry and get out of this hotel. The boat leaves in half an hour.
I know.
And you should have finished packing long ago.
But, boss, I had to go up on the roof and take your shirts off the line.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, Mr. Benny, it's a good thing we're checking out of here. The hotel laundry is sure mad at you.
Oh, they are, eh? Well, I've got a right to do my laundry if I want to.
Yours, yeah, but not everybody's.
Don't be silly. I didn't do everybody's laundry. I just happened to help out a few friends.
Friends? They didn't even know who you were until I slipped those cards under their doors.
What cards?
The ones that said, wet wash, rough dry, flat work, and violin recitals while waiting.
Oh, that. I just did that for a gag. Anyway, Rochester, let's, come in.
Did you call for a bellboy?
Yes. I don't have much time to make the boat, so will you please rush these things down to the lobby?
These?
Yes. What's the matter?
Well, some people in checking out of this hotel have taken little bars of soap as souvenirs. Others have had the nerve to take some towels. But Mr. Benny, a mattress!
What? Are you accusing me of taking a mattress?
That's what he said. That's what the man said. He said that.
Rochester, stop helping him. Now, why in the world would I take a mattress?
To go with that bed we got in the last hotel.
Rochester.
He took a bed?
To go with the bathtub we got from the...
Rochester! Now, stop making up those ridiculous things. Now, listen, boy, I had nothing to do with this mattress. It was rolled up by the maid.
Oh, it was, eh?
Yes.
Well, unroll it and take the maid out.
Can I help it if she's clumsy? Now, grab these bags. I don't want to miss the boat.
In the top deck.
Oh, it's wonderful, Mary. And the water's so calm and clear.
Yeah, Dante, there's nothing like a boat trip. Ain't that right, Jackson? Rochester, give me another one of those Mother Sill seasick pills.
Another one, boss?
Yes.
If this is going to be a long trip, Mother better speed up production.
Rochester, please stop joking and give me a pill.
Hey, Jackson, why don't you just take it easy and relax?
Relax? Right now he looks like a glass of milk with no glass around it.
Fellas, cut it out, will you? Gee, I'm glad somebody feels worse than I do.
That's a boat whistle.
Oh, yes. Rochester. Rochester, how long before the boat docks at Seattle?
12 hours.
12 hours? Why so long?
We haven't even left Vancouver yet.
Another pill, Rochester. Another pill.
The Jack Benny Show is rebroadcast especially for you soldiers, sailors, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen of the United Nations. Now we turn the remainder of the program over to the Benny Bandmaster, Phil Harris. Music, Phil.
Thank you. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
And a reminder, you're listening to Radio Vault. And we just heard the Jack Benny Show from April 30th of 1944. Up next, in just a moment, the Burns and Allen Show from November of 1946. That's next on Radio Vault on 89.3 WHFR, the station making waves.
The 16th annual WHFR Record Show is Saturday, September 20th. If you're looking to sell records, cassettes, CDs, DVDs, VHS, or other music swag, WHFR is now accepting vendor applications. For dealer information, please visit our website, www.whfr.fm/recordshow. That's www.whfr.fm/recordshow. We look forward to working with you at the 16th annual WHFR Record Show, Saturday, September 20th.
Join me, BC, host of The Other Side, every Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m. You'll hear great alternative, independent, and local rock and roll, mixed in with deep cuts from classic artists. I hope to see you on The Other Side this Tuesday at 1 p.m., only on WHFR Dearborn, the station that is making waves.
The music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, our happy postman, and our special guest, star of the Old Gold Show, Frank Sinatra. For your Thursday night comedy enjoyment is George and Grace. It's morning in the Burns home, and Gracie, the housewife, has cleared away the breakfast dishes. Now, Gracie, the newspaper columnist, is ready to clear away the problems of the world.
My, the paper is full of news this morning. I hardly know which item to explain to the readers of my column.
You explain the news to them?
Oh, yes. Everyone doesn't have my uncanny grasp of world affairs. I'm not the average person, George.
That I've known for years.
Some people have the minds of children, and it's my duty to guide them.
I see.
What would you like to know, dear?
Not a thing. Nothing at all.
Now, you take the elections last Tuesday. Do you realize how confused those poor Republicans must be who got elected? I'll bet some of them wind up in Seattle and Tacoma.
Seattle and Tacoma?
Yes. They've been out so long, they won't know which Washington to go to.
A shrewd observation.
Well, so much for politics. Now let's turn to football.
Now, Gracie, you know nothing about football.
I don't, eh? Well, I can show Army a trick play that'll beat Notre Dame.
What?
Well, just before the game, Army drafts all the Notre Dame players.
I wouldn't let that get around.
Not so much for football. Let's turn to the entertainment news.
Oh, no.
Well, listen to this. Artie Shaw is honeymooning with Kathleen Windsor, the girl who wrote Forever Amber. Well, as usual, the man gets all the breaks.
What do you mean?
Well, he can have a wonderful time reading her book, but what if she can't play the clarinet?
I wouldn't let it worry me.
Yeah. Oh, here's an interesting item. Frank Sinatra is going to sing at the Waldorf Hotel in New York.
The kid really gets plenty of work.
Yeah, and I can't understand it. Well, you're twice the singer he is.
Oh, Gracie.
Oh, I realize it's not his fault. He gets tones that are thin and hollow because his chest is thin and hollow. But you get tones that are low and round because
don't
your chest...
Don't finish it. It's really a flash.
That hotel should have hired you to sing.
though April showers may come your way, they bring flowers that bloom in May.
Oh, you murdered, Jack. You murdered. Oh, those golden notes will come pouring out of you like Democrats out of Congress. Excuse me, dear. I'll see who's at the door.
Good morning, Nicky Burns. Here's your mail.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Postman. Uh-oh. A bill from the butcher shop. Guess there's another installment due on that pound of bacon we bought.
Prices are high, aren't they?
Yes. And I could use more money. And that's what annoys me about George. My husband could be a big movie star.
Don't tell me you're still trying to get him to replace Clark Gable.
Well, wouldn't George be perfect for the hucksters?
I didn't read the book. What's it all about?
Well, it's about radio advertising, Mr. Postman.
Oh, I love radio advertising. It's 5 o'clock.
Hey, that's right. Most radio advertising is sung these days, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Langendorf is just a man for you. Man for you.
Oh, Mr. Postman.
Ooh, that Dr. Dog's bark.
Mr. Postman, you've given me an idea. The man who plays the lead in the Hucksters will have to be a singer.
So,
this makes George the logical choice. The man doesn't breathe who can sing better than George Burns.
How about Frank Sinatra?
Well, I can't quite decide.
If he's better?
No, if he breathes.
Well, I'm glad I cheered you up, Missy Burns.
Oh, I'm eternally grateful to you, Mr. Postman. Thanks to you, George will make the picture. Would you like to see the sneak preview?
No, just tell him hello for me. Well, goodbye, Missy Burns. You remember, keep smiling.
Oh, George, come here.
What is it, Gracie? What are you so excited about?
Oh, George, fate has played right into your throat. Clark Gable is automatically eliminated from the Hucksters. The leading man will have to be a singer.
How come?
Well, it's all about radio advertising. And that's nothing but singing commercials.
Say, that's right.
Get your happy going right over to MBM and audition.
MBM?
After they hear you sing, it'll be Metro Burns Mayor.
Okay, I'll do April showers for them. Gee, I hope I don't get excited and forget the word.
Well, I'll be there to prompt you, darling.
The April showers may come your way.
What do they bring, George? Do they bring weeds, dandelions?
They bring the flowers that bloom in May. And though it's raining.
Well, what's your attitude toward that precipitation?
Have no regrets.
Why this astonishing view of the matter?
Because it is raining, Rayla. It's raining violet. And when you see clouds.
Where?
Up on a hill.
What are they?
You only see clouds.
Yes?
Of daffodils.
Would you like me to keep my eyes peeled for some type of bird?
So keep looking for a bluebird and listening for his own.
When, George? During the dry season?
Whenever.
During the summer?
Whenever.
During the winter?
Whenever.
January?
When?
February?
When?
March?
Oh, quiet. Whenever April showers come on.
Short? Medium?
Slow.
Oh, and people think Sinatra can sing.
Why, hey, that's right, Sinatra. We haven't got a chance.
Well, what do you mean?
He's under contract to MGM. If it's going to be a musical, they'll use him.
But you're better than Sinatra.
I know, but he's under contract. If you had a plumber living in your house, would you call in an outsider to fix a drip? Frankie's in and I'm out.
Well, we'll take care of that. So, Mr. Sinatra's the plumber, is he? Thinks he can handle a drip, does he? Well, he hasn't met George Burns.
I should say
that.
Jackie, buckle down. You know, Meredith, a football song like that comes along, people sing it down the ears, and after a while, you almost get to feel Winsocky really exists.
Well, it does, in a way, Bill. After all, what's Winsocky but a nice musical eight-letter word for alma mater?
True.
The boys out in New Haven call it Yale. In South Bend, it's Notre Dame. And in these parts, they spell it UCLA, but it's still Winsocky.
Yes, I guess you're right, Meredith. And any Saturday afternoon this time of year, in college stadiums the country over, this Winsocky business gets to have a special meaning. Helps you understand why college football has long been such a colorful and thrilling part of the American scene.
Sinatra's house.
Oh, thanks for driving me over, Meredith. How did you find this house so easily?
All us members of the Sinatra fan club know where Frankie Boy lives.
You're a member?
Sure. Kind of wish they hadn't passed that rule that at meetings everyone had to wear sweaters, skirts, and bobby socks. I felt a little conspicuous.
Oh, I should think you would.
Yeah, one of my bobby socks had a hole in it.
Well, thanks again, Meredith. I'm going in now and convince Frankie that he should leave town.
What for?
Well, so his studio won't be able to reach him, and they'll have to let George play the lead in that picture.
Oh, well, good luck. Oh, Gracie, don't forget your package.
Oh, yes, that's some baby clothes. A little gift for Frankie's boy. If my first plan fails, I can always soften him up with that. Goodbye, Meredith.
Bye.
Now, let's see. I'll tell Frankie that he should get out of town for a rest. I'll convince him that he looks tired and weak. Thank goodness I have nature on my side.
Yes? Oh, hello, Gracie.
Hello, little boy. I'd like to see Frank Sinatra.
Gracie, don't you recognize me? I'm Frank Sinatra.
Boy, I didn't know you. You've wasted away to nothing.
I have?
Oh, yes, your bones have lost so much weight.
But Gracie...
And your neck, Frankie. Your neck is just hanging there in folds. And it's all covered with spots.
That's my bow tie, Gracie.
Oh. Well, anyway, you ought to get away for a little rest.
Yeah, I have been working pretty hard at that. Maybe I should go away to some resort.
Oh, sure. How about Africa?
Africa?
Oh, you'd love it, Frankie. It's not as crowded as Palm Springs.
Yeah, I know, but...
Oh, all the smart people are going there. The Frank Bucks, Tarzan and his mate, Dr. and Mrs. Livingston, I presume.
I'm sorry, Gracie. I'm not going to Africa. Suppose the cannibals grab me.
Well, what if they do? Why should we be the only ones to have a meat shortage?
Well, just the same, I am not going to Africa.
Well, then go to India. Whatever you do, don't stay at MGM.
Don't stay at MGM?
Yes. That's a place in India. The Mahatma Gandhi Motel. Don't stay there. The rooms are terrible.
Well, first of all, I have no intention of going to India. Excuse me just a moment, Gracie, while I answer the door.
Good afternoon, Mr. Sinatra. Here's your mail.
Thank you, Mr. Postman.
You want to hear something funny?
What's that?
They're going to make a big musical at your studio, and Mrs. Burns thinks her husband would be better for the lead than you.
Oh. Now I catch on. That's why she's been trying to send me out of town.
If she had succeeded, that would have been bigger news than man bites dog.
How do you mean that?
Woman sends Sinatra. Well, goodbye, Frankie boy. Remember, keep smiling.
Oh,
Bessie. I'd like to talk to you.
Oh, yes, Frankie. What is it?
Wanting me to go to Africa and India, that had nothing to do with putting George in a picture, did it?
Putting George in a picture? Who told you?
The postman told me. Is it true?
Yes, Frankie. I can't look into your sweet, innocent, boyish face and lie to you. Not when I know you've been tipped off.
Gracie, tell me, do you really think George is a better singer than I am?
Oh, well, let's face it, Frankie, he is. I realize they call you the voice, but wait till I tell you what they call George.
Please, Gracie, there are children in the house.
They call George Sugar Throat.
Oh.
Of course, in fairness to you, I haven't heard you sing lately. Oh, why don't you run through a number right now so I can make a comparison?
Okay. When I was a young man courting the girls, I played me a waiting game. If ever a maid refused me with curls, I let the older take a couple of whirls while I plied her with tears in lieu of pearls. And as time came around, she came my way. As time came around, she came. For it's a long, long while, from May to December, but the days grow. Gracie?
Well, Frank, before you sang, I thought maybe George was better, but now that I've heard you...
Yes?
I'm sure of it.
Well, even so, but I can't understand why you go to such lengths to get George a job.
Well, no, I guess you don't understand how a woman feels. Well, goodbye, Frankie.
Oh, wait a minute. You forgot your package. Here, I'll... Oh, I'm sorry, Gracie, I dropped it. Why, Gracie, it's baby clothes.
Yes, I know. I didn't tell you before, but I...
You're gonna have a baby.
I am?
I see it all now. You wanted George to have the job for the baby's sake.
Yes.
That's wonderful. You wanted the little fella to grow up and be proud of his daddy.
Yes.
What if you did resort to trickery? You were prompted by that noblest of all emotions, mother love.
Yes.
Gracie, you've helped me see the light.
Well, you've been pretty big help yourself.
Just wait till my wife hears this. Hey, Ned! Hey, Nancy! Oh, that's right. She can't hear me from here. She's in the den listening to Crosby records. But we'll...
George can do the picture, can't he?
You bet he can. Yes, sirree. Bye, George. Gracie, maybe we've got some baby things that you can use.
Well,
You tell Nancy to give you those three-cornered pants she put in my shirt drawer. I'd be glad to get rid of them, believe me.
No, Frankie. The baby things are enough. We can't take your clothes, too.
Well, you talk to Nancy. She's right there in the den.
Oh.
What am I waiting for? I gotta go over and congratulate George. He's gonna have a baby.
Well, I'll be done. Here comes Frank Sinatra up the walk. I wonder if Gracie talked him into letting me have the picture. Come in.
George, old man, congratulations.
You mean Gracie talked to you and I'm going to have it?
You sure are, kid.
Well, this is just a start. If the first one turns out all right, I may go on a regular schedule of 2 a year.
2 a year?
Yeah.
Oh, but George, you can't do that.
Sure I can. All I have to do is sing a couple of songs.
Well, to each his own.
But those are in the future. Let's talk about this one. I hope it's as good as your last one, Frankie.
Yeah, I was kind of proud of that one myself.
Say, I don't remember. Was that one Technicolor?
Technicolor? Well, yes, George, in a way, yes. You see, it was sort of red in spots. But your baby will be, too, you know.
Baby? What baby?
The baby Gracie's gonna have.
Oh, that baby. What? My wife was gonna have a baby?
You mean you didn't know?
Of course I didn't know. She didn't tell me.
Oh, but George, you should have guessed it. Haven't you noticed her acting rather strangely?
Frank, if acting strangely meant Gracie was going to have a baby, I'd be Papa Dion.
Well, sir, now you know, George. That's why Gracie is so anxious for you to play the lead in that picture. She wants you to make good for Junior.
Gee.
Well, George, I think that... Oh, Frankie, you're here.
Funny. Frankie just told me you're going to have a baby.
Well, so he told me. So I told him.
Gee, you mean I'm going to be a father? And you're going to be a mother?
Well, isn't that the usual arrangement?
Me a father. Gee, I'm all excited. Here, sweetheart, have a cigar. No, I mean, how about a kiss, Frankie? No. I mean, have a cigar, Frankie.
Oh, calm down, George.
Hello? I mean, come in.
Hello, Burns. Well, Frankie boy.
Hiya, Bill.
Hey, you want to dig some great news? George is going to be a father.
Yeah. Have a cigar, Bill.
Gracie, are you expecting the stork?
Oh, goodness, no. A baby.
Well, this is wonderful. Congratulations. George, I hope the kid has Gracie's looks and your brain.
Thanks.
No. I hope it has Gracie's brains and your looks.
Oh.
No. Look, is it too late to call this whole thing off?
Never mind the funny stuff.
But, George, you know, you just don't look like a father.
I think he looks like a great father.
I think he looks grand.
Well, now you got it. He looks like a great grandfather.
Well, Frank Sinatra thinks he looks all right. He's recommending George for the lead in a picture.
Frankie, why didn't you recommend me? After all, I made you what you are today.
What?
Bad English, but it's true. I'm the one who started the girls going, ooh, when you sang.
Yeah, how come?
Well, I stood behind you and held up a cup of Maxwell House coffee. That's where the girls went, ooh.
It was hot, yes.
Oh, but Bill, you wouldn't do for the picture because it's a musical. It's for singers like George and Frankie.
Oh, well, I can't sing like George. I can sing exactly like Frankie. The music stopped. But we kept on dancing.
Oh, Bill. Nobody would say that sounds like Frank Sinatra.
Terry Como would. Well, now, wait a minute. I can make it sound twice as good by putting some real lyrics in it. Listen to this.
Well, you can just relax, Bill. George's going to make the picture. Just wait till his golden voice comes pouring through that screen.
Well, it can't, Gracie. Gravel won't go through a screen.
Do you think I can sing, eh, comic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, April showers, we come your way.
Oh! That's going in, George. That's Mama's little songbird.
Songbird?
Why, sometimes I think a titwiller flew down his throat.
Tell him, Gracie, tell him.
And it built a nest there and is raising a family.
Talk to him.
Yeah. And every time George opens his mouth, another egg hatches.
Oh, honey.
Ah, you're solid, Jackson. The movies will pay millions for your voice.
Boy, for showers.
Wait a minute, Jack. Don't waste that stuff.
Well, come on, George. Let's get over to the studio and I'll introduce you to the right people.
Well, I'll get my... Come in. Hello, all. Hello, Meredith. Have a cigar.
Oh, thank Meredith, you. Have you met Frank Sinatra?
Not formally, but we have met.
We have?
Yes. Remember the time those Bobby Soxers mobbed you in Glendale and started tearing your clothes off?
Oh, yeah, I remember. I had to jump over the fence to get away.
Well, I got the part of your suit that went over the fence last.
Meredith, I'm sorry, but we haven't time to visit with you now. Frank is taking George to the studio to get started on that picture.
Oh, that gift for Frankie's baby did it, huh?
What gift?
Goodbye, Meredith.
No, the baby clothes for your little boy. That was for my baby?
Goodbye, Meredith. I hear your sister calling you.
My sister's in Mason City, Iowa.
Loud voice, hasn't she? Well, goodbye, Meredith.
Just a minute, Gracie. Something tells me you are not going to have a baby at all.
Baby? Oh, it almost worked.
Gracie, you mean I'm not going to be a father?
I'm afraid not.
Boys, give me back my cigar.
Again next week when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Goodwin. Our guest will be Luella Parsons. And the following week, Clark Gable. Frank Sinatra appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. See him soon until the clouds roll by.
Good night, folks.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
The 16th annual WHFR Record Show is Saturday, September 20th. If you're looking to sell records, cassettes, CDs, DVDs, VHS, or other music swag, WHFR is now accepting vendor applications. For dealer information, please visit our website, www.whfr.fm/recordshow. That's www.whfr.fm/recordshow. We look forward to working with you at the 16th annual WHFR Record Show, Saturday, September 20th.
If you want to change the world, then you have to change yourself. One of the best places in the Metro Detroit area to improve your life is Henry Ford College. Henry Ford College offers dozens of degree and certificate programs, plus the opportunity to network with your peers and potential employers. Taking classes at Henry Ford College gives you the freedom to take your own career path and opens up an infinite number of career possibilities. Additionally, day and evening classes allow you the flexibility of building a schedule tailored to your busy lifestyle. For more information on admittance, financial aid, and class schedules, visit www.hfcc.edu today. That's www.hfcc.edu. So change the world. Change yourself at Henry Ford College.
Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, partially transcribed, by the Kraft Foods Company. Well, taking everything into consideration, the Great Gildersleeve has done quite a good job raising a family, especially for a bachelor. Now he's on his way home, satisfied he's done a good day's work, and anxious to greet the last remaining member of his little brood.
Leroy! Yeah, I wonder where that boy is. Leroy?
Yeah, home, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, hello, Bertie. You know where he is?
Oh, yes, sir. He's in a jam session.
Again?
Yes, sir. The minute he got home from school, he grabbed his drumsticks, two of my pie tins, and headed for across the street.
Over at Bam's house, huh?
Yes, sir, in a jam session.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'll bet Leroy hasn't even done his chores.
No, sir, he just grabbed his drumsticks, the pie tin, and lit out for the jam session.
Probably hasn't given one thought to his homework.
No, sir, just grabbed the drumsticks and the pie tins and lit out for the jam session.
He's apparently forgotten to come home for dinner.
Well, Leroy says when you catch the beat, you forget everything. You're gone.
Right, George, I'll have to do something to bring Leroy down to earth.
He sure is in the clouds when he's with that little Miss Babs.
Yeah, I know, Bertie.
When she sits down at the piano and starts rattling them keys and fluttering them eyelids, that boy's gone. He's gone. I mean gone.
Well, Bertie, I'm gone, too.
You are?
After Leroy. Babs is a pretty little girl. But if I don't call a halt to this bebop business, first thing I know, Leroy will be wearing a beret and a goatee. Listen to that. Sounds like somebody threw a music box into a cement mixer. Well, I'll take care of this. Oh, for they can't even hear the doorbell. Leroy, break it up! Imagine the nephew of a man who sent his daughter to the Metropolitan Opera making noises like that.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Hello, Babs. I take it Leroy's here.
Uh-huh. We're having a dreamy session. Come on in.
Well, it's just about time for Leroy's session with the roast beef.
Hi, Ed.
Leroy, it's time for dinner.
Man, how can I stop? I gotta keep moving. I gotta grow.
Babs, do you think you should be doing that to such a good piano?
Unc, you ought to hear Babs sing.
Yeah, well, some
Come
other
on,
time.
Come on, Babs, take off with those crazy words.
Yeah, but Leroy,
Barney boy, is that the Chattanooga choo-choo?
Yeah, Babs, you don't have to do it.
Track 29.
Boy,
you can give me a shot.
That's cool, man.
I can afford to board the Chattanooga choo-choo. I've got my fare. And just a trifle to spare.
Yeah, well, that's very nice, but...
You'll leave the Pennsylvania station about a quarter to four.
Yeah.
Read a magazine and then you're in Baltimore. Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer than to have your ham and eggs in Carolina. When you hear the whistle blow an eight to the bar, then you know the Tennessee is not very far. Shovel all the coal in, got to keep it rolling. Woo-woo, Chattanooga, there you are. Woo-woo, Chattanooga, there you are.
dig it? Oh, yeah, yes. Very good, Babs.
Thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve. I really worked hard to make good.
Oh?
I spend most of my time training for my career.
Yeah, me too.
Your careers?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a singing star, and Leroy's going to be my drummer.
Yeah, come on, Babs. I got to keep moving.
Leroy!
Okay.
And we have to go. Let's not forget our little duties and chores. There's the homework.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve, that sounds so dull.
Yeah, Hunk, we got our careers to think about. I'm going to be the best skin man in the business.
Oh.
We're going to work up an act and take it on the road.
Leroy, you're going to hit the road right now.
But
Young man, pick up your sticks and beat it across the street.
Oh, for corn's sake.
I don't know what's gotten into Leroy. He took his drumsticks to bed with him, beating time on the bedposts. Wish I'd known that's what it was before I got up in the middle of the night to see who was knocking on the door. Oh, well, it's the Babs influence. Say, Peavy has kites in the window. Hello, Peavy.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this morning?
Peavy, I see you've changed your window display.
Well, the window's breaking up, so I took out the hot water bottles and put in kites.
Now all you need to push sales is a big win.
Care to volunteer, Mr. Gildersleeve?
All right, Peavy.
Leroy was in this morning for some adhesive tape.
Adhesive tape?
Seems he got a blister from twirling his drumsticks.
That boy. I have a little problem there, Peavy.
You don't say.
Babs has him spending too much of his time in jam sessions. Leroy's even talking about going on the road, making it a career.
My, my.
Peavy, I don't like the idea of the boy ending up a grasshopper with a snare drum.
Well, I doubt if a grasshopper could do what Leroy did here the other day.
Oh?
He lined up a row of water glasses and tapped out quite a tune. Reminded me of a fellow who used to come in the store and sit all day drinking cherry phosphates and playing the sweet potatoes.
Well, that was an ocarina, Petey.
And that's what the squares call it.
Yes, yes.
He figured he was going to set the world on fire with that sweet potato.
What's he doing now?
I think he's digging them in Oklahoma.
Well, I don't doubt it. I wish I could convince Leroy he's wasting his time.
Yeah, Babs is a pretty little girl.
Yeah, I know that. You'll have to admit she's a little flighty. Now, if I were Leroy, I'd pick some girl a little more serious-minded. Well, I would. You take little Clara Pettibone, for instance. She comes from a cultural-type family.
Yes, she does. Mrs. Pettibone always has her picture on the society page.
Yeah, and Clara likes Leroy. She always sends him a valentine. And she invited him to her cello recital at the women's club last month. Leroy wouldn't go.
I don't blame him.
Now, Peavy, that's exactly what Leroy needs. Exposure to the finer things. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree.
Yeah, you just have to be sure you're bending the twig in the right direction.
Well, I know what's best for Leroy. By George, I'm going to maneuver it so Leroy spends more time with Clara Pettibone.
Well, it's not too easy to pick someone else's friends for them.
Well, once Leroy has had a chance to compare the two girls, I'm sure he'll choose wisely, the way I've always done. I've been pretty smart about picking my feminine companions.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Of you to pick me up after school.
Happy to do it, my boy.
Where are we going?
Well, I have to run by Mrs. Pettibone's to see about her water bill.
Do I have to go? I'm supposed to meet Babs.
Oh, Babs can wait, Leroy. Come along.
Do I have to go in?
You don't want to sit out here alone and be unsociable.
Yes, I do.
But Mrs. Pettibone hasn't seen you for a long time.
She never sees me anyway. She has her nose so high in the air.
Leroy, out of the car.
Okay, gosh.
And brush the hair out of your eyes and shake the dust off your blue jeans.
Just to watch you and Mrs. Pettibone haggle over a water bill?
Who knows? You might see little Clara.
Oh, for corn's sake.
Leroy, Clara is a very attractive young lady.
Yeah, but she's such a king-size square.
Leroy.
What's that? Who's moaning?
Well, sounds like music to me.
That's music?
It's probably little Clara practicing one of the classics on her cello. I hate to ring the doorbell and interrupt that music.
Ring it! Let's get this over with.
Yeah, listen to that. Even Mrs. Pettibone's door chimes have class. Well, hello, Clara.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gildersleeve. Hello, Leroy.
Hi.
Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you. But we can't stay long.
No, we can't.
I just wanted to see your mother about the water bill.
But when you phoned, I told you Mother wouldn't be home all afternoon.
Oh, is that what you said? I guess I didn't get the message straight.
Well, you're straight now. Let's go.
Does Leroy have to go? I was just practicing on my cello.
Yeah, I have to go.
Well, you don't have to rush off, my boy. You can stay a while.
Why don't you, Leroy?
Well, gosh, I got things to do at home.
Oh, Leroy, what have you to do that's so important?
Oh, I got to walk the dog, water the dog, feed the dog.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think Leroy likes me, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Why, of course he does. Don't you, Leroy?
Sure. But he never comes to my parties, and he didn't come to my recital.
Well, gosh,
I don't think Leroy's very fond of the cello.
Oh, it isn't that, Clara. Leroy's just a little shy. He has to be pushed.
I think I'm being shoved.
If you'll stay a while, Leroy, we can play some records.
Yeah? Who you got, Stan Kenton?
No, but I have something very exciting by Stravinsky.
Oh, brother. Well, like I say, I gotta feed the dog, water the dog.
Perhaps we'd better go, Clara, and let you get back to your cello practice. But why don't you come over and see Leroy Saturday afternoon?
Saturday?
Well,
wouldn't you like, Clara, to come over Saturday, Leroy?
Yeah, sure.
Good. Then it's all set.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gildersleeve, but I usually practice Saturday afternoon.
Yeah? Too bad, Clara. Some other time, huh, Clara?
Now, wait a minute. Clara, why can't you come and bring your cello?
I could do that.
Oh, I've been framed.
The Great Gildersleeve will return in just a moment. Well, when the Great Gildersleeve comes up against a difficult situation, he usually finds a way to cope with it. When it seemed Leroy was wasting his time in bebop jam sessions with Babs, he decided to expose his nephew to a more dignified type of music and culture.
What do you think of an uncle that'll put you in a spot like that, Bertie?
You mean she's coming over here Saturday and bringing that cello?
Yeah. Uncle invites her and I'll be stuck with her all afternoon.
It isn't as bad as he makes it sound, Bertie. Little Clara is just like her mother.
Yes, sir.
And you know how she's respected. Everybody in town takes off his hat to Mrs. Pettibone.
Made better or she'd knock it off with her parasol.
Leroy, you don't realize what a nice thing I'm doing for you. What's this?
Unc, you know you'd never spend an afternoon listening to some girl saw away on the cello.
My boy, when I was growing up, I didn't have an opportunity.
Some guys have all the luck.
And I've regretted it. My musical knowledge consists pretty much of singing with the Jolly Boys.
Gosh, a whole afternoon with Clara. What do we talk about?
Talk about symphonies.
I don't know anything about symphonies.
Well, if you run out of things to talk about, ask Clara to play the cello.
I'll think of something to talk about.
Believe me, Leroy, you'll come out of this experience a much richer person.
You mean you're going to pay me?
No. Now, let's not discuss it any further. You just see that Clara has a pleasant afternoon. And if it'll make you feel any better, I'll sit around with you. Now, that's fair, isn't it, Bertie?
Yes, sir. Mr. Gildersleeve, you sure have changed.
You watch this.
A while back, you were singing Barbershop with the Jolly Boys. Now you go long hair.
Yeah, maybe I have.
Yes, a while back, Mr. Gildersleeve was strictly Barbershop. Now I've gone long hair.
Yeah, all right, Bertie.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you know where you gone?
Yes, Bertie.
That's right, instead of Barbershop, you gone long hair.
Bertie, the parlor looks nice.
Thank you, sir.
Did you dust off the piano keys?
I thought little Clara Pettibone played one of them big fiddles.
Cello, Bertie. She might want to tune it with the piano.
Yes, sir.
And are all the little refreshments ready?
Yes, sir. I have cocoa and ladyfinger sandwiches.
Yeah, ladyfinger sandwiches sound just about right. I want to run this off like a regular musicale.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm doing my best to make everything stuffy.
No, Bertie. If either way, Clara's due any minute. Where's Leroy?
I ain't seen him since he put on his blue suit. And he sure looked blue.
Well, blue or not, I'm glad he's dressed up. I want Clara to take home a nice impression to Mrs. Pettibone.
Yes, sir.
Where is that boy? Leroy! Leroy!
Let me try.
Leroy!
Bertie.
If that didn't get him, he ain't here.
Yeah. I wonder if that boy is taking his drumsticks over to Babs' house.
No, his drumsticks are right here on the piano.
Say, isn't that the Pettibone limousine pulling up in front of the house?
Yes, sir. And look at that chauffeur. Ain't he something?
Yeah.
I wonder if he gets that big car on his night off.
Bertie, let's not speculate.
No, sir.
You go bring in the cello, will you, Bertie, while I put on my coat?
Yeah.
Yeah, guess I'll have to entertain Clara until Leroy shows up. That boy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Clara, come right in.
Thank you.
Why, you look very pretty this afternoon. Nice bow you have in your hair.
Oh, Mother likes me to wear them.
Well, Mother's know best. Especially Mrs. Pettibone.
Where do you want the cello, Miss Pettibone?
Well...
Just put it over there by the piano, Bertie.
Yes, sir.
Come into the parlor, Clara.
Thank you. Where's Leroy?
Leroy doesn't seem to be around at the moment. Shall we sit down and talk until he comes?
Oh, I'm delighted to sit down and relax. I've been working with Grieg all morning.
Oh, is he your cello professor?
Grieg's sonata, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, him. Very talented sonata man. Hey, where is that boy?
He happens to be Mother's favorite, but I personally prefer Tchaikovsky. I think his symphony pathétique is divine.
Oh, me too. He did a good job on his symphony pathétique. On that one. Clara, I want to compliment you on your musical ability. It's quite an accomplishment, a young girl like you playing a big instrument like the cello.
You're nice to say that, Mr. Gildersleeve, but I feel so inferior when I think of Wolfgang Mozart.
You have. Don't we all?
Imagine composing at the age of 4.
Yeah, few children are in school at that age.
And can you imagine touring in clavichord recitals at 7?
Well, old Mozart didn't let any grass grow under his feet. Yeah, I'll have to remind Leroy of Mozart. He'd like getting my hands on that boy.
Tell me frankly, Mr. Gildersleeve, does Mozart's Die Saube Flöte do anything for you?
For me? Well, the way I feel about that, excuse me. Bertie!
Yes, sir?
Have you seen anything of Leroy?
No, sir, he showed.
Don't worry about me, Mr. Gildersleeve. I'm enjoying myself.
Oh, so am I. I just hate for Leroy to miss this.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve, tell me about yourself. I imagine you've had a simply fascinating musical background.
Well, like you said, Mozart makes me feel like pretty small potatoes. Hey. Why don't you play something on the cello? Here, I'll open the case for you.
I suppose I may as well. Mother said I simply had to practice another 2 hours today.
Well, now's a good time to do it. There you are.
Thank you.
Yes, the cello's quite an instrument. Nice tone.
This is an exercise Mother says I simply have to master. I hope you won't consider it dull.
Oh, no. I'm right in forcing this on Leroy.
Excuse me, but
Bertie. Oh, yes, Bertie.
Can I see you for a minute?
Yeah, go right ahead, Clara, while I see what Bertie wants. Yes, Bertie?
You ready for the lady finger?
Oh, not yet, Bertie.
Okay, saw you in trouble. Just trying to help you out.
Yeah, just a minute, Bertie.
Yes, sir?
You go listen to the cello.
Me?
I'm going out and find Leroy.
Now, why didn't I stay in that kitchen?
Well, I just had to get out of the house. I don't blame Leroy too much for not showing up. But I've got to find him. He wasn't at Babs' place. Yeah, I'll try Peavy's. Hello, Peavy.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Peavy, have you seen anything of Leroy this afternoon?
Yes, he was in here just a little while ago.
He was? Which way did he go?
He went that away.
Oh, my goodness. Peavy, this is important. Did he say where he was going?
No, he and Babs had their faces stuck in a soda.
Oh, so Babs is with him. Peavy, he's supposed to be home this afternoon. Little Clara Pettibone came over and brought her cello.
You don't care.
Leroy shouldn't do a thing like this. How can I explain this to Mrs. Pettibone? She'll be offended.
Yes, I suspect she will.
And that poor Clara. She'll be embarrassed, having Leroy ignore her and go off with some other girl. I've got to find that boy.
Yes, you can't help feeling sorry for Clara.
Yeah, she seems to have nothing in common with children her own age. And she's too intelligent to talk to adults.
Excuse me while I answer the phone.
Yeah, go ahead. I have to be on my way anyway.
Peavy's Pharmacy. Yeah? Oh, just a minute. Mr. Gildersleeve.
You what?
It's for you, Bertie.
Oh? Yes, Bertie?
Mr. Gildersleeve, Leroy's home.
Well, fine.
I'm not so sure. Babs is with him.
Uh-oh.
She's at the piano, and Leroy's got his drumsticks using Miss Pettibone's cello for a snare drum.
Zeke. What's Clara doing?
She ain't fainted yet, but I'm standing by.
Well, hold the fort, Bertie. I'll be right home. Confound it. I invite Clara over, and Leroy and Bab start a jam session. Who's adding insult to injury? When Clara tells her mother about this, Mrs. Pettibone will have me run out of town. Oh, just listen to that. Sounds like a bunch of Indians on the warpath. Well, I'll put a stop to this.
Is that you, Miss Gildersleeve?
Yes, Bertie, I'll take charge now.
That Miss Clara's already taking charge.
What?
Come on in and watch that girl slap that cello.
Slap the cello?
That's cool, Clara. Now take the break.
Yeah, go home.
Say, not bad.
No, sir.
Hey, here he is.
Clara, well, what's going on?
Join in, Mr. Gildersleeve. We're blowing up a storm.
No, you go right ahead. Bertie, it's not the kind of storm I thought it was going to be.
No, sir, they're all getting along fine.
Yeah. What a crazy way to make friends.
Greg Gildersleeve will be right back.
Gildersleeve, that was a fine musical.
Yes, Bertie, the kids had a good time. And Leroy didn't seem to mind at all getting back to his homework.
Yes, sir, after they blew up that storm, I guess they were ready for a little calm weather.
Well, I'm not going to worry anymore about Leroy. Yeah, I think I'll let him sit up tomorrow night and listen to the Academy Awards broadcast on NBC.
Yes, sir. Didn't that little Clara Pettibone have fun today?
Clara had the time of her life. But I wonder how her mother took it. Mrs. Pettibone's been very careful about Clara's musical education.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think I'll phone and see if I can smooth out the situation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I really should apologize to Mrs. Pettibone anyway, because it happened at my house. Yeah, I'll bet that old biddy has read the riot act to poor little Clara.
Hello?
Clara, this is Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, yes, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Is that your cello I hear?
Yes, it is.
Well, how can you answer the phone and play boogie on the cello at the same time?
Oh, that's Mother.
Mrs. Pettibone slapping the cello?
I just taught her how. She thinks it's real fab.
Oh, my goodness. Good night, folks.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman. The show is written by John Elliott and Andy White and partially transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Lillian Randolph, Barbara Whiting, Ann Whitfield, and Dick LeGrand. Musical compositions by Jack Meekin. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next week and every week for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah, I hope you liked that one from March 18, 1953. The Great Gildersleeve, Willard Waterman in the title role. And we do this every Tuesday from 10 in the morning till 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock is The Other Side with our good friend B.C. I am, of course, the keeper of the archives. We're going to continue with more lighthearted comedy. Actually, you know what we have waiting in the wings? We've got Lux Radio Theater. We're going to hear a classic, Casablanca. That's next.
The 16th annual WHFR Record Show is Saturday, September 20th. If you're looking to sell records, cassettes, CDs, DVDs, VHS, or other music swag, WHFR is now accepting vendor applications. For dealer information, please visit our website, www.whfr.fm/recordshow. That's www.whfr.fm/recordshow. We look forward to working with you at the 16th annual WHFR Record Show, Saturday, September 20th.
The many sounds, the many faces of jazz and improvised music can be heard on the Spirits Rejoice radio program every Tuesday from 6 to 10 p.m. right here, WHFR.FM, WHFR Dearborn.
Lux presents Hollywood. Radio Theater brings you Hedy Lamarr, Alan Ladd, and John Loder in Casablanca with Edgar Barrier. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. One bright January morning, just a year ago, the city of Casablanca in French Morocco woke up and found itself famous. It had entertained many mysterious visitors from a world at war, but never before the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of Great Britain. Within a few days, Warner Brothers had rushed their screen drama, Casablanca, to the theaters of the nation, and people marveled at a Hollywood miracle. Actually, of course, the picture had been planned and filmed during the months previous, because Casablanca had an exciting story to tell even before the President and Prime Minister arrived. It's a story of love and hate in a background of adventure and sudden death. Tonight we bring you that drama with a cast that producers dream about. Hedy Lamarr and Alan Ladd and John Loder. Hedy came back to town last week from Texas with the applause of the soldiers at Camp Hood still ringing in her ears. And so we borrowed her from Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, where she's just completed the picture, Heavenly Body. Alan Ladd, of course, came to us from Paramount. I'm hoping to have Alan for my next picture, following the story of Dr. Wassel. Getting these players together in one drama is a talent scoop of the first magnitude in Hollywood, and it's unlikely that it would ever happen in a picture, because our stars are under contract at different studios and are kept so busy on their home lots that they aren't loaned out, as the phrase goes, as the curtain rises on the first act of Casablanca, starring Alan Ladd as Rick, Hedy Lamarr as Ilse Lund, and John Loder as Victor Laszlo, with Edgar Barrier as Renault. Everyone knows that name today, Casablanca. Before the war, Casablanca was just another small seaport, with its face to the Mediterranean and its back to the North Atlantic. But then, as the Nazi lash descended upon Europe, hordes of refugees, like the boiling waters of a burst dam, flooded into the sanctuary of its white walls. Those with money enough or influence enough obtained exit visas bearing the seal of the Vichy government and fled to Lisbon, and from Lisbon to the Americas. The others just waited and waited. But all who came to Casablanca were not refugees. The German intelligence was always there when anything unusual occurred. As, for example, the murder of two Nazi couriers.
Major Strasser, may I present Captain Reynaud, police prefect of Casablanca.
Unoccupied France welcomes you, Major.
Thank you.
You may find the climate of Casablanca a trifle warm.
We Germans must get used to all climates, Captain, from Russian to the Sahara. But perhaps you were not referring to the weather.
Oh, what else, my dear Major?
The murder of the couriers. What has been done about it?
Captain Reynaud already knows who the murderer is.
Excellent. He is in custody?
There is no hurry. Tonight he will come to Rick's.
That cafe, Major, I pointed it out to you.
Everybody in Casablanca comes to Rick's. But this one will not leave.
Frankly, Captain, I did not journey here simply to find an assassin. The real reason for my visit is Victor Laszlo.
I thought as much.
Has he arrived yet?
Yes, this afternoon, with a very beautiful young woman. I met them.
Renaud, Laszlo must not leave Casablanca. I have learned that he is prepared to offer a fabulous bribe for a visa to Lisbon.
I am prepared to refuse it.
Where is he staying, you know?
Major, I even know the time he intends to bathe.
I would like to talk with Laszlo. Can it be arranged?
Undoubtedly, he too will be at Rick's tonight. Everybody comes to Rick's. Or did I mention that before?
Yes, monsieur?
I reserved a table. Victor Laszlo.
Yes, monsieur Laszlo, just one moment, please.
Victor, are you sure we should have come here? So in public?
There's often the greatest safety in what appears to be a risk.
I see no one here of Ogata's description.
Neither do I. He'll be here, though.
Excuse me. I have a ring here.
What?
A ring. I'm forced to sell it at a great sacrifice.
Well, I hardly think that...
Perhaps the lady. The ring is quite unique. You see?
That's it, Victor.
Yes, it's a very interesting ring. What's your name?
Berger, monsieur. I recognized you from the newspaper photographs. We read 5 times that you were killed in 5 different places.
As you see, 5 different places? A
As you can see, it's true each time. Thank heaven we found you, Berger. I'm looking for a man by the name of Ugarte. He's supposed to help us.
He's here somewhere. You'll need all the help you can get.
Yes, this time they mean to stop me.
Oh, I'm so afraid for you, Victor.
We've been in difficult places before.
Why? We're just coming back.
That's all, Berger. Meet us at the bar later.
Oh, I don't think we want to buy the ring, but thank you for showing it to us.
Yeah?
It's Franz, Rick. Franz Ugarte.
Come in.
Hi, what do you want?
Oh, nothing much, Rick. Too bad about those German couriers, eh?
Well, they got a break. Yesterday, they were just two clerks. Today, they're among the honored dead.
You will forgive me for saying this, Rick, but you are a very cynical person.
I forgive you.
You despise me, don't you?
Well, if I gave you any thought, I probably would.
But think of the poor refugees who must rot in Casablanca if I did not help them. Is it so bad that through ways of my own I provide them with exit visas?
For a price, Ugarte, for a price.
Oh, those poor wretches who cannot meet Renault's price, I get it for them at half. Is that so parasitic?
Well, I don't mind a parasite. I just object to a cut-rate one.
Well, after tonight, I'm through with the whole business. I'm leaving Casablanca. Rick, look.
What?
Look, Rick, look. Do you know what these papers are? Letters of transit signed by Marshal Vagon. With his signature, they cannot be rescinded or questioned. Not even by Renault.
So?
So, I'm selling these for more money than I ever dreamed of. And then, goodbye.
What are you trying to say, Ugarte?
Rick, I have many friends in Casablanca. But because you despise me, you are the only one I trust. Will you keep these letters for me?
How long?
For an hour, perhaps, till my client arrives.
Okay. But I don't want them here overnight.
Oh, thank you, thank you. No fear of that. Now, Rick, I hope you are more impressed with me. I'll go to share my luck now with your roulette wheel.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yes?
I heard a rumor that those Nazi couriers were carrying letters of transit.
No. Yes. Poor devils. I heard that rumor, too.
You're right, Ugarte. I am a little more impressed with you.
Good evening, Rick.
Well, hello, Renault.
Hear that plane, Ricky? It's going to Lisbon. You'd like to be on it?
Why, what's in Lisbon?
The Clipper that goes to America. Rick, I have often speculated on why you do not return to America.
There's a roulette table inside for people who like to speculate.
Yes. I noticed Ugarte just went in.
Yes, you'll come out poor.
What was it, Rick? Whatever brought you to Casablanca? Did you abscond with the church funds back home? Did you run off with somebody's wife? I should like to think that you killed a man. It's the romantic in me.
Well, I'll tell you. It was a combination of all three.
Someday I'll find out. Oh, Rick, before you came, I took the liberty of escorting a visitor to your best table, a German, Major Strasser. I wanted him to be on hand for the excitement, because tonight we're making an arrest here.
Again?
This time a murderer. Please don't warn him, Rick.
Now, look, I stick my neck out for nobody.
And I'm staging the arrest here out of my high regard for you. It'll interest the customers.
And perhaps Major Strasser.
Perhaps. Castell.
Yes, Captain.
You will find Franz Ugarte inside at the roulette table.
Yes.
Arrest him for the murder of the German couriers.
Yes, Captain.
Or he'll be carrying some letters of transit. Be sure you get them.
Yes.
Louis, there's more than Ugarte on your mind tonight.
Oh, you're very observant, Rick. There are many exit visas sold in this cafe, but we know that you have never sold them. That is why I permit you to remain open.
No, I thought it was because I let you win at roulette.
Oh, that's another reason. Rick, a man arrived today in Casablanca on his way to America. Right now he's at the bar. He will offer a fortune to anyone who will furnish him with an exit visa.
What man?
Victor Laszlo. Why, Ricky, this is the first time I've ever seen you so interested.
Laszlo has succeeded in interesting half the world. I wonder how he'll manage it.
Manage what?
His escape.
He escaped from a concentration camp, and the Nazis have chased him all over Europe. But this is the end of the chase, Rick.
10,000 francs says it isn't.
Make it 5,000. I'm only a poor, corrupt official. No, no matter how clever he is, he still needs an exit visa. I should say two. He's traveling with a lady.
He'll settle for one.
Oh, I think not. I have seen the lady.
Now, where did you get the idea that I might help Laszlo?
Because I know all about you, Ricky. Enough at least to know you're more a sentimentalist than a cynic. I know that in 1935 you ran guns into Ethiopia. I know that in 1936 you risked your neck with the loyalists in Spain.
And got well paid on both occasions?
The winning side would have paid you much better.
Maybe. Louis, why do you want to keep Laszlo here? Gestapo spank?
You overestimate the influence of the Gestapo. In Casablanca, I'm the boss. I do not interfere with them, nor they. Cassel is a very noisy policeman. Monsieur Laszlo, Mademoiselle Lund, welcome to Rix.
You welcomed us this afternoon at the airport, Captain.
I welcome everyone everywhere. Oh, my profoundest apologies for the recent disturbance, most unfortunate.
Yes, for the poor man who was killed. Horrible.
Horrible, mademoiselle? But then may I ask, why did you remain?
Oh, permit me. Major Strasser, Mademoiselle Lund, Monsieur Laszlo.
We've heard of you, Major.
The Major asked, why did you remain after the regrettable shooting?
We were here to meet someone. He's not yet arrived. Ilza, I think perhaps we should leave now.
It might be wiser, Monsieur. I do not think your friend will come. They just removed the body of Franz Ugarte to the morgue.
Franz Ugarte?
Your friend.
I'm sorry, Captain, but the name Franz Ugarte means absolutely nothing to me.
Oh, come now, Monsieur. We know that
you... This is enough for tonight. Tomorrow at 10, Monsieur Laszlo, in the Captain's office. With Mademoiselle.
We are not under your authority, Major. This is French soil. Captain Leno, is it your order that we come to your office?
Let us say it is my request.
Very well.
At 10 o'clock in the morning. Good night.
Sleep well, Major. Now, my friends, after all this unpleasantness, a little relaxation. Sit down, please. Waiter.
Yes, Captain.
A bottle of the best champagne. Put it on my bill.
Oh, now, please.
Oh, they put it on my bill. I tear the bill up. It's just a little game we play.
We shouldn't stay. We seem to be the only ones left.
I'm afraid Ricky will be very cross with me, killing one customer and driving the others away. Oh, but that's no reason why you shouldn't be entertained. Sam.
Even, Captain.
Sing something nice for my guest, Sam.
Sure, boss.
Mademoiselle, I had been informed you were the most beautiful woman ever to visit Casablanca. That is a gross understatement.
Thank you. You're very kind. Captain, that man's singing.
He's been staring at you for the past 5 minutes, Ilza.
I've seen him before somewhere.
Oh, Sam? Oh, he came here from Paris with Rick.
Rick? Who is he?
Mademoiselle, you are in Rick's. And Rick is, well...
Is what?
Well, he is the kind of a man that... Well, if I were a woman and I were not around, I would be in love with Rick. No offense, monsieur.
If you both won't think me terribly rude, will you excuse me a moment? I want to talk to Sam.
To Sam? Of course, my dear.
Hurry back, mademoiselle.
With all your faults, I love you still.
Hello, Sam.
Hello, Miss Ilsa. Never expected to see you again.
It's been a long time.
Yes, miss.
Where is he, Sam?
Why, who, miss?
Rick.
I don't know. I ain't seen him all night.
Will he be back?
Not tonight no more. He ain't coming. He went home.
Does he always leave so early after a shooting? Oh, Sam. You used to be a much better liar.
Leave him alone, Miss Ilsa. You're bad luck to him.
Sam... Play it once, for old time's sake.
Oh, I don't know what you mean.
Play it, Sam, as time goes by.
I can't remember it, Miss Ilsa.
Please. Sing it, Sam.
Oh, Miss Ilsa. You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply. as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say...
I thought I told you never to play that.
Now you've done it.
Well, Rick, come here. I want you to meet some charming people.
Well, hello, Elsa.
Hello, Rick.
Oh, you two know each other. Well, then you also know Monsieur Victor Laszlo?
No.
Oh. One hears a great deal about Rick in Casablanca.
And about you everywhere.
Won't you join us for a drink? This is the most interesting cafe, even without the gunplay. I congratulate you.
And I congratulate you.
What for?
For your work.
Thank you. I try.
We all try. You succeed.
Well, I can't get over you two knowing each other.
I wasn't sure you were the same. Let's see. The last time we met, wasn't it in Paris?
Well, that shouldn't be too hard to remember. It was the day the Germans marched in. The Germans wore gray. You wore blue.
Ilse, I don't wish to be the one to say it, but it is late.
Yes, so it is. Carl, the bill.
Forget it, Carl. It's my party.
Well, it is. We're all in all a most unusual evening.
We'll come again.
Do that.
Will you say goodnight to Sam for me?
Sure.
There's still nobody in the world who can sing as time goes by like Sam.
He hasn't done it in a long time. Good night.
Oh, I'd like just one word with Rick, Monsieur Laszlo, and then if you wish, I'd be delighted to drive you to your hotel.
Thank you. We'll wait outside. A very puzzling fellow, this Rick. Just what sort is he?
I really can't say. I met him in Paris. We were once acquaintances.
In just a few minutes, Mr. DeMille presents Hedy Lamarr, Alan Ladd, and John Loder in Act Two of Casablanca. And now, Mr. DeMille returns to the microphone.
Act Two of Casablanca, starring Alan Ladd as Rick, Hedy Lamarr as Ilse, and John Loder as Victor, with Edgar Barrier as Renault. It's hours later, and in Rick's cafe, a solitary lamp still burns. Rick sits at a table staring into an empty highball glass, and in the shadows, Sam fingers the keyboard quietly.
Boss, ain't you going to bed?
Not right now.
Well, ain't you planning on going to bed in the near future?
No. Go on, keep playing, will
you? Okay. Boss, let's get out of here. There ain't nothing but trouble for you here.
She's coming back. I know she's coming back.
Well, we could take the car, you and me, and drive till morning. We go fishing somewhere and stay until she leaves.
Ugade dies and she walks in. One out, one in. Of all the joints and all the towns and all the world, she walks in a mine. Hey, what's that your plan?
Oh, just a little something of my own.
Now, stop it. You know what I want to hear.
No, I don't.
Now, you played it for her, you can play it for me.
Yes, boss. Boss, listen.
What?
You got company.
And I was counting on it.
Rick, may I talk to you?
So long, boss. Miss Ilse, you shouldn't have come.
Want a drink?
No.
Why did you have to come to Casablanca?
I wouldn't have come if I'd known you were here. Believe me, Rick, it's true.
Why, about your voice? Still the same. Rick, dear, I'll go any place with you. We'll get on a train together and we'll never stop.
Don't, Rick. Please don't. I understand how you feel.
How long did I know you, honey?
Oh, I didn't count the days.
I did. Every one of them. Mostly I remember the last one. Paris. The wild finish. Guy waiting at a station in the rain with a marriage license in his pocket and a funny look on his kisser because a sledgehammer just hit him between the eyes.
Can I tell you a story, Rick?
There's a go. I'll finish.
I don't know the finish yet myself.
Okay.
Maybe one will come to you as you go along.
It's about a girl who met a man she's heard about all her life. A great and courageous man. And soon, everything this girl knew or ever became was because of this man. She looked up to him and worshipped him with a feeling she thought was love.
I've heard bare stories in my time. Tell me, was he the guy you left me for? Was it Laszlo? Or were there a few others in between?
Rick.
A lot of people ran away from Paris that day. I wonder if they all left notes. You left a note, didn't you? Sam brought it to me at the railroad station. I guess it was a love light in my eyes that helped him spot me and all that mob.
Yes, I wrote you a note. I know it was cowardly, but I just couldn't face you.
I cannot go with you or ever see you again. Remember? I must not ask why. You just believe that I love you and God bless you. It's a literal translation, Elson.
I thought if I came here tonight and spoke to you, I could make you understand. I'm sorry, Rick.
Don't give up, honey. I'm just a slow study. Call again sometime and give it another whirl.
We have searched Ugarte's apartment again, Major. No luck. Someone else must have them.
And I strongly suspect that someone is Rick. I suggest you continue the search in the cafe.
If Rick has the letters of transit, he is much too smart to let you find them there.
You give him too much credit. Just another blundering American.
We must not underestimate American blundering, Major. I was with them when they blundered into Berlin in 1918.
As to Laszlo, we want him watched. 24 hours a day.
Yes, it's 10 o'clock, Major, and he and the girl are waiting now for us.
Send them in.
Send them in, Cassell. I do not think we're going to get very far with Laszlo this morning.
Nevertheless, there's no loss in making him the obvious offers.
Only a loss of time. Oh, good morning. I'm delighted to see you both.
Laszlo, mademoiselle.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Laszlo, we will not mince words.
Good. Let's begin by saying that I'm an escaped prisoner of the Third Reich, from whom no one ever escapes.
I do not deny you are an exceptional man. Monsieur, you say Third Reich as if you expect there will be others.
I take what comes, Major.
So far, yes. You have been fortunate enough to elude us. You have reached Casablanca. I intend to make certain you stay here.
Whether or not you succeed, Major, is of course problematical.
Not quite. On all exit visas issued here in Casablanca, Captain Renault's signature is necessary. Captain, would you think it possible that Laszlo will receive a visa?
And I'm afraid not, monsieur.
Well, perhaps I'll like it here.
And you, mademoiselle?
You needn't be concerned about me.
As a matter of fact, you could both be on your way to Lisbon this very night.
But, of course, under certain conditions. Well, Major, what are your terms?
As leader of the underground movement, you know who the other leaders are. In Paris, Athens, Prague, Amsterdam...
And Berlin?
Furnish me their names and exact whereabouts, and you will have your visa immediately.
And the honor of serving the Third Reich.
Major, what if he did give them to you? What if you did track them down and kill them? From every corner of Europe, hundreds, thousands would rise and take our places. Even Nazis can't kill that far.
You make only one mistake. In the event anything unfortunate should occur to Monsieur Laszlo, no one could take his place.
Thank you.
You wouldn't dare interfere with him here. This is still unoccupied France.
Any violation of neutrality will reflect on you, Captain.
Monsieur, so far as it is in my power, that neutrality will be respected.
Are you finished with us?
For the moment, yes.
Then good day. Come, Ilse.
Your next step toward securing a visa is what, monsieur?
I don't know.
Well, let me save you some time. Sooner or later, the man to see will be Senor Ferrari, and he operates the Blue Parrot Cafe across the street from your hotel. Good day, mademoiselle.
Hello, Ferrari. I saw the supply truck come in. I thought I'd stop by for the American cigarettes.
But why yourself? My boy will bring them over.
Every time he does, he orders a little bit short.
Carrying charges, my boy. Carrying charges. I'm glad you're here, Rick. I want to talk to you. The news about Ugarte upset me very much.
Now, look, you don't feel any sorry for Ugarte than I do.
Of course not. What upsets me is that no one knows where those letters of transit are.
Practically no one.
If I could lay my hands on them, I could make a fortune.
And so could I. And I'm a poor businessman.
I have a proposition for whoever has those letters. I'll handle the entire transaction, get rid of the letters, and take all the risk for a small percentage. That's the proposition I have for whoever has those letters.
Well, I'll tell him when he comes in.
Rick, I think you know where they are.
And Alton Strasser thinks so, too. That's really why I came over here. To give them a good chance to tear my place apart.
Excuse me, senor.
Yes?
There's a man who wishes to see you. Monsieur Laszlo. Oh,
I was rather expecting him. Send him in.
Is he alone?
There is a lady also. She said she would wait outside.
But she will not wait alone, hey, Rick?
Well, suppose you just concentrate on Laszlo. Hey, Ferrari?
Send him in, Sasha. The back way. A little courtesy for Rick.
Good morning.
Hello, Rick.
I'm sorry about last night.
Doesn't matter.
The story had me a little confused, or maybe it was the bourbon.
Forget it.
You can repeat it now. I'm reasonably sober.
I don't think I will.
Why not? After all, I got stuck with a railway ticket.
All right. Victor Laszlo is my husband.
Well, what do you know?
And he was, even when I knew you in Paris.
I don't believe it.
There seems to be so much you don't believe.
What about it?
It happened almost a year before I met you. He loved me, and I thought I loved him.
Soon after we were married, he had to leave France.
And this time he has to leave Casablanca.
Yes, he must. Oh, you have so changed, Rick. The Rick I knew in Paris, I could tell him, but not you.
Listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. You're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
I will remember those old days and forget last night.
Well, I'm not leaving Casablanca. I'm settled now. Above a saloon, you walk up one flight of stairs. I'll expect you.
It will take a miracle to get you out of Casablanca, Monsieur Laszlo. And the Germans have outlawed miracles.
I got tired of waiting, Victor. Do you mind?
Sit down, mademoiselle, please. You see, as leader of all illegal activities in Casablanca, I am an influential and respected man, but I am helpless to do anything for Monsieur Laszlo. You, however, are a different matter.
He thinks it might just be possible to get an exit visa for you.
To go alone?
Yes.
We are only interested in two visas, senor.
Please, Ilse, you must get to America. And believe me, somehow, sometime, I'll join you.
What if things were different? What if I had to stay and there was only one visa? Would you take it?
Yes, I would.
Then why didn't you leave me in Lille? When I had trouble getting out of there, or in Marseille, when I was ill, and you were in desperate danger every second. Why didn't you leave me then, Victor?
I meant to. But something always held me up.
I, too, am a very sensitive man, monsieur. I know.
I happen to love her very much.
So, for the present, senor, we'll go on looking for two visas. Thank you.
I am moved to make a suggestion. You are aware of Ugarte and the letters of transit?
Yes, slightly.
I'll venture to guess that Ugarte left those letters in Rick's cafe. He is a difficult customer, but it is worth the chance.
You have been very patient, senor. Good day.
Now, what's all this about?
A near riot in your own cafe. You don't even bother to get up and see for yourself.
I've got other things on my mind. What happened?
Some German officers started to sing the Watch on the Rhine. They wanted the customers to join in.
Well, they did.
Except what they sang sounded more like La Marseillaise. Oh, with my usual tact, I handled the situation perfectly. Now, Rick.
Hmm?
My men gave this place a rather thorough going over this morning.
Yeah, we just barely got it cleaned up in time to open.
Yes, I told my men to be especially destructive. You know how that impresses Germans. Where are the letters, Rick?
You see, Captain, the situation is not as much under control as you believe. That song is for Bolton. How dare they sing it?
Now, my dear Major, we cooperate with your government, but we cannot control the feelings of these refugees.
Captain, are you entirely certain which side you are on?
Oh, I blow with the wind, Major. And right now, the prevailing breeze is from Vichy.
Well, I have been thinking. It is too dangerous for us to let Laszlo leave Casablanca, but it may also be too dangerous to let him stay. We know all of North Africa is honeycombed with traitors just waiting for someone to lead them.
Yes, it poses an intricate problem.
There's one man who could solve it.
Who?
He just walked in. Victor Laszlo. I'm a very bright boy, Laszlo. I figured you came here to see me, and I figured you preferred seeing me in my office, alone.
You do nothing but bewilder me.
But you hope I may also be able to help you.
You told me once you knew of my activities. Then you must know how important it is that I get out of here, to help continue the work of a very great movement.
The problems of the world are beyond me, Laszlo. I'm just a saloon keeper.
My friends in the underground have told me differently. They mentioned Spain and Ethiopia, and a strange tendency of yours to be always with the underdog.
Well, I found it a very expensive hobby. But then I never was much of a businessman.
Are you enough of a businessman to appreciate an offer of 100,000 francs?
I appreciate it, but I don't accept.
200,000?
Make it 1,000,000 francs or 10 francs. The answer is still no.
There must be some reason why you refuse to sell the letters.
There is. I suggest you ask your wife.
I beg your pardon?
I said ask your wife.
Are you leaving, Victor? Where are you going?
Oh, I thought I mentioned it. There's a meeting of the underground.
Oh, please don't go, Victor. I'm frightened. Look. Look out the window.
I don't have to, darling. I'm used to being trailed.
What's going to happen, Victor?
Who knows, Ilse, dear? Strasser now threatens to find some excuse to put me quietly away in jail.
All the more reason why you must stay here tonight.
I'm frightened too, Ilse, but what can I do? Hide in a hotel room or carry on the best I can?
Whatever I'd say, you'd carry on. Victor, why didn't you tell me about Rick? You saw him, didn't you?
Apparently he has the letters.
Yes?
But no intention of selling them. You'd think that if sentiment wouldn't persuade him, then money would.
Did he give you any reason?
He suggested that I ask you.
Ask me?
Ilse, when I was in the concentration camp, were you lonely in Paris?
Yes, Victor, I was.
I know what it is to be lonely. Is there anything you wish to tell me?
No. No, there isn't.
My dear, I love you very much.
Yes, I know. Victor, whatever I do, Will you believe me that I...
You don't even have to say it. I'll believe you. Good night, dear.
Good night, Victor. Please be careful.
We pause now for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. In a few minutes, Mr. DeMille and our stars Alan Ladd, Hedy Lamarr, and John Loder will return in Act 3 of Casablanca. And now, here's our Hollywood reporter, Libby Collins. Greetings, Libby. What's new?
Well, for one thing, Mr. Kennedy, my hat. What do you think of it?
Your hat, Libby? Why, it's nice. Very nice. Yes, I like it.
Oh, come on now. Stop hedging. What do you really think of it?
To tell the truth, Libby, I hardly noticed the hat. I was looking at you.
Well, Mr. Kennedy, that's a compliment. But just let me turn around. Now look.
Oh, I see. It's really quite a hat. Libby, that must be very new.
It is, but well, how would you know?
Well, it's so sort of simple. Not one of those dizzy numbers that looks as though it might fly off into space any minute.
Mr. Kennedy, you're an observant man. This is the newest thing. The profile cloche. It fits snugly on the head, and it's meant to frame the face, not take attention away from it.
I think I begin to see why you wore that little hat tonight, Libby.
Of course. To show that it's more important than ever for a woman to have nice, smooth skin.
Sure. Because with that kind of headgear, the emphasis is less on the hat than it is on the face underneath it. Now, our producer, Mr. DeMille.
We'll report on the offstage doings of our stars after the play. But now here's the curtain for Act 3 of Casablanca, starring Hedy Lamarr, Alan Ladd, and John Loder with Edgar Barrier. For nearly an hour after Victor Laszlo left for the meeting of the underground, Ilse sat motionless in the drab hotel room. Suddenly, her mind made up, she takes an object out of her husband's briefcase. walks through the dark, quiet night to Rick's Cafe and up the outside stairs that lead to the second floor.
I told you this morning you'd come around, but this is a little ahead of schedule.
Rick, I had to see you.
That's what you said last night. All this has nothing to do with the letters of transit, has it? It seems as long as I have those letters, I'll never be lonely.
You can ask any price you want, but you must give them to me.
I went through all that with your husband. It's no deal.
I know how you feel about me, but I'm asking you to put your feelings aside for something more important.
Do I have to hear again what a great man your husband is, what an important cause he's fighting for?
It was your cause, too. In your own way, you fought for the same thing.
Well, I'm not fighting for anything anymore except myself.
Rick, once you loved me, if those days mean anything at all to you...
I would bring up Paris if I were you. It's poor salesmanship.
Listen to me, Rick. If you only knew the truth...
I wouldn't believe you no matter what you told me. You'd say anything now to get what you want.
You want to feel sorry for yourself, don't you? One woman has hurt you and you take your revenge on the rest of the world. Rick... Rick, please help us. If you don't, Victor will die in Casablanca.
Well, I'm going to die in Casablanca, too. It's a good spot for it.
All right. I tried. I tried to reason with you, Rick. Now I want those letters.
A gun, Ilsa? Is that really a gun in your hand?
Where are the letters?
Right here in my pocket.
Put them on the table.
Uh-uh.
For the last time, put them on the table.
All right, go ahead and shoot, Ilsa. You'll be doing me a favor.
I can't. You know I can't. I've done nothing but make a fool of myself. Oh, I don't know what to do, what to say. I thought I would never see you again. The day you left Paris, if you knew what I went through, if you knew how much I loved you, how much I still love you.
All right, I'm crazy. I'm crazy, but I believe you. You win. Ilsa, what happened? What was it? I've imagined everything in the world and none of it very pretty.
I've tried to tell you. A few months after Victor left France, word came that he was in a concentration camp. And then, not long after, another message that he was dead. Shot trying to escape. I had nothing, not even hope. Then I met you.
Why weren't you honest with me then? Why didn't you tell me you'd been married, that he was dead or something?
Victor wanted it that way. It was his way of protecting me. I knew too much about his work. If the Gestapo found out I was his wife, it would be dangerous for me and for those working with us.
When did you find out he was still alive?
Just before you and I were going to leave, his friends came. They were hiding in a freight car on the outskirts of Paris. He was almost dead. Well, that's it, Rick.
Still a story without an ending. What about now?
Now? I don't know. Except that I'll never have the strength again to run away from you.
And Laszlo?
You'll help me, won't you? You'll see that he gets out, and then he'll have his work, all that he's been living for.
All except you.
Oh, I can't fight anymore. I don't know anymore what's right and what's wrong. You'll have to think for both of us. For all of us.
Okay. Okay, I will.
If only I didn't love you so.
Oh, Elsa. Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Just heard a door close quiet. Hey, Sam. Is that you?
Yeah, boss.
What's the matter?
And Mr. Laszlo, I found him crawling through our cellar window.
Victor.
Come up here. Does he know you're here?
No. There was a meeting of the underground tonight. They must have been following him. Ono's men, Strasser's men.
So he picks my place to hide, that's fine.
You got some iodine, boss? He cut his hand breaking the wind in.
Oh.
Hello, Sam.
Evening, Miss Ilsa.
Sam, I want you to take Miss Lund to her hotel.
What about Victor?
He cut his hand, didn't he? I don't like blood on my floor. I'll go down and patch him up. And Sam?
Yeah, boss.
Miss Lund will prefer going out the back stairs.
I'm sorry about this, Rick. I've had a little trouble.
I'll forget it. Well, I guess I ought to take care of your hand.
Thanks. If it's all right with you, I'd like to stay here a few minutes longer.
Yeah. Don't you sometimes wonder if it's worth all this, what you're fighting for?
We might as well question why we breathe. If we stop breathing, we'll die. If we stop fighting our enemies, the world will die.
What of it?
You know how you sound, Rick. Like a man who is trying to convince himself of something he doesn't at all believe. Each of us has a destiny, for good or evil.
I get the point.
I wonder if you do. I wonder if you know that you're trying to escape from yourself, and you'll never succeed.
You seem to know all about it.
I know a good deal more about you than you suspect. I know, for instance, that you're in love with a woman. It's perhaps a strange circumstance that we should both be in love with her. No one's to blame, and I ask no explanation. I ask only one thing. You won't give me the letters of transit? All right. But I want Ilza to be safe. I ask you as a favor to use the letters to take her away from Casablanca.
You love her that much?
Apparently you think of me only as the leader of a cause. Well, I'm also a human being. Yes, I love her that much.
You should not leave your back doors unlocked, Mishuri.
Yeah, that's right, Cassell. No telling who might break in.
Monsieur Laszlo, you'll come with us. We have a warrant for your arrest.
Ricky, I advise you not to be too interested in what happens to Laszlo.
Oh, come on, stop bluffing. All you can do is find him a few thousand francs. You might as well let him go now. Hey, what are you charging him with?
I haven't quite decided. Meanwhile, if by any chance you were thinking of helping him to escape...
And what makes you think I'd do that?
Because, one, you bet 5,000 francs that he would, and two, you've got the letters of transit. Don't bother to deny it.
All right, get ready for a shock, Louis. Yeah, I have the letters, but I intend to use them myself. I'm leaving Casablanca on the last plane tonight.
What?
And I'm taking a friend with me. One you'd appreciate.
What friend?
Ilza Lund. Now, that ought to put your mind at rest about my wanting to help Laszlo escape. He's the last man I'd want to see get out of here.
You didn't come here to tell me this. Since you have the letters, you know very well you can fill in your names and leave any time you wish.
Yeah. We have a legal right to go, but people sometimes are held in Casablanca in spite of their legal rights. Laszlo, for instance.
What makes you think I'd want to hold you?
Ilse's Laszlo's wife. She knows things that would interest Strasser tremendously. Louis, I'll make a deal with you.
Go on.
If you could get something really big against Laszlo, something that would chuck him in a concentration camp for years, that would be quite a haul for you, wouldn't it?
Yes. Germany, Vichy would be very grateful.
Then release Laszlo now. You'll be at my place half an hour before the plane leaves. I'll arrange to have Laszlo come there to pick up the letters of transit. That will give you criminal grounds to arrest him. You take him, and Ilse and I get away.
There's something about this I don't quite understand. You were never before interested in any woman.
Well, she just isn't any woman.
I see. How do you know that I'll keep my end of the bargain? Or that you'll keep your end of the bargain?
You've got Laszlo inside?
Yes.
Well, let me see him alone now. We'll make the arrangements. Open up your microphones and you'll hear every word. You would anyway.
Ricky. Ricky, I'm really going to miss you. Apparently, you're the only one in Casablanca who has even less scruples than I. Well, Rick, 40 minutes and you'll be on your way to Lisbon.
Yep.
Rick's Cafe. Oh, this place will never be the same without you.
I sold it to Ferrari. Oh, don't worry. He understands you're still the winner at roulette.
Oh, thanks. You have the letters, Rick?
Yeah, right here.
Tell me, when we searched the place, where were they?
I dropped them in Sam's piano.
Serves me right for not being musical.
Oh, here they are. You better wait in my office.
Yes, a good idea.
Hello, Ilse. Where's Laszlo?
Oh, he'll be right in. He's just paying the driver. Rick.
What?
Haven't you told Victor yet that he's going alone? He thinks I'm leaving with him.
I'll tell him later.
But it's all right, isn't it? You were able to arrange everything.
Oh, sure.
But Victor...
We'll tell him at the airport. The less time to think, the easier for all of us. Just trust me.
Yes.
I don't know how to thank you, Rick.
Save it. There's still lots of things to do.
I brought the money. It's in this briefcase.
Forget it. You'll need it in America.
But we made a deal.
Never mind that. Here, I got the letters here. They're made out in blank and signed by General Vagon. All you have to do is fill in the blanks.
I'm sorry, Laszlo. You're under arrest again. Accessory to the murder of the couriers from whom those letters were stolen.
You're surprised about my friend Ricky. Well, the explanation is simple. Love, it seems, has triumphed over virtue.
Oh, now, take it easy, Louis. Nobody's going to be arrested. Not for a while yet.
Have you taken leave of your senses?
Yeah. Now, sit down.
Oh, Ricky, put down that gun.
Now, look, I wouldn't like to shoot you, Louis, but I will if you don't behave.
Well, under the circumstances, then I will sit down.
Yeah, and keep your hands on the table.
I'm very unhappy, Ricky.
There's a telephone right next to you, Louis. Now pick it up and dial the airport. We don't want any trouble out there either. Remember, Louis, this gun is pointed right at your heart.
Well, that's my least vulnerable spot.
Hello?
Hello? Is this the airport?
What are you talking about? This is Major Strasser.
Captain Leno, I want to speak to the operations manager.
What? Oh, go ahead, Leno.
Oh, monsieur. A man and a woman will arrive shortly at the airport.
Huh?
They will go aboard the Lisbon plane. They carry two letters of transit.
Ah!
There is to be absolutely no trouble made for them. Understand?
I'll be there right away.
Thank you.
Lisbon plane taking off in 5 minutes. This is the last call for passengers to please board the plane. Lisbon plane, 5 minutes.
You gotta hurry now, Laszlo. Take care of your luggage. We'll wait here.
Right back.
Here's a fountain pen, Louis. I think it might look nicer if you filled in the names on the letters.
You think of everything, don't you?
Yeah. And the names are Mr. and Mrs. Victor Laszlo.
Rick, why my name?
Because you're getting on the plane.
I don't understand. What about you?
Yes, what about you?
I'm staying here.
No, Rick. What's happened? Last night, you said...
Last night, I said I'd do the thinking for the both of us. Well, I've done a lot of it since then. It all adds up to just one thing. You're getting on that plane with Laszlo.
I won't leave you again, Rick. I won't.
Listen to me. Do you have any idea what you would have to look forward to if you stay here? We'd both wind up in a concentration camp.
I'm afraid Major Strasser might insist.
You're saying this only to make me go.
I'm saying it because it's true. Inside of us, we both know that you belong to Victor.
And what happens to you?
Well, I've got a job to do, Ilson. And where I'm going, you can't follow. I'm sounding noble now. I'm not very good at it. But it doesn't take much to see that the problems of two little people, well, they just don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that.
Everything's in order.
All except one thing. There's something you have to know before we leave.
Please, you don't have to explain anything.
But I'm going to, because it may make a difference to you later on. You know about Rick and me?
Yes.
But you didn't know I was with him last night at his place when you were there.
No.
She came to get the letters. She tried everything to get them and nothing worked. She did her best to convince me she was still in love with me. But that was over a long time ago. For your sake, she pretended it wasn't. Well, let her pretend.
I understand.
Now, here are the letters. Good luck.
Welcome back to the fight, Rick. Are you ready, darling?
Yes, I am. Goodbye, Rick. God bless you.
Come on. You better hurry. You'll miss that plane.
Well, there they go, Rick. I was right. You are a sentimentalist.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know I'll have to arrest you, of course.
Yeah, as soon as the plane takes off, Louis.
Let me, Renault.
Oh, I may still win my bet, Rick.
Renault, what was the meaning of that phone call?
Victor Laszlo is on that plane.
No, stop him. What are you standing here for?
Because Monsieur Rick has a gun in my stomach.
I was willing to shoot Captain Renault. I'm willing to shoot you too, Major.
Are you crazy? Guards!
Don't call anyone, Major. I'll shoot.
I'll stop it myself. Wait! The plane must not take off! The plane must...
Someone has just shot Major Strasser.
Oh!
Telephone Lieutenant Cassell immediately. And tell him to round up the usual suspects.
Yes, Captain.
Ricky, it might be a good idea for you to disappear from Casablanca for a while. There's a free French garrison at Brazzaville. I could be induced to arrange your passage.
Hey, look, you still owe me 5,000 francs.
5,000 francs should just about pay our expenses.
Our expenses?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
In private life, Hedy Lamarr is Mrs. John Loder. And so as we present our stars for a curtain call, I'll introduce them as Alan Ladd and Mr. and Mrs. John Loder. Although they've been married almost a year, it's our first chance to congratulate them.
Thank you, Mr. DeMille. You know, he beats me.
What do you mean? Come on, take off your coat, Loder.
At gin rummy.
You just saved me.
We want your expert opinion on something, Mr. DeMille.
For you, Hedy, anything.
When a husband and wife are in one of your plays, do you recommend a little extra rehearsing at home?
No, definitely, John. Offhand, I can't think of anything more pleasant than going over a love scene with Hedy.
If Mrs. DeMille is listening, he's only kidding.
We better drop this.
Well, I'll change the subject, C.B., because there's something I want to say to Humphrey Bogart's fans. It was a privilege for me to play a part that he made famous, but, well, really, nobody could play it like Bogey. And I'd like to wish him... And I'd like to wish him all the luck in the world over there in the Mediterranean area where he's entertaining American soldiers.
Luck and a safe return. I suppose Alan has shown you the photographs of his new daughter, Hedy.
Why, no.
Well, how'd I miss you? It seems I just have a dozen or so around.
Pure accident. But her beauty reminds me of something that I must ask John as man to man.
Straight answer?
Yes, John. Now let me tell you what we've planned for next week.
What's the show, C.B.?
One of the big dramatic prizes of the past year. The Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer hit, Random Harvest. And that isn't all, because our stars will be Ronald Coleman and Greer Garson. They're the original stars of the picture. And next Monday night, we present them both in this powerful story of a soldier and the girl who loves him. A great drama made even greater by the artistry of Greer Garson and Ronald Coleman.
It's a wonderful picture, Mr. DeMille. I'll be listening. Good night.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. That applause goes from coast to coast. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a tiny island in the mid-Pacific called Tarawa. That pronunciation, incidentally, is from the National Geographic Society. That island will never be important economically. It is no rich source of raw materials. But the name of Tarawa has been written indelibly into American memory in the blood of American sons. Out of the first group of Marines who landed on Tarawa, more than half will never fight again. Is there anyone listening who can truthfully say, I can't afford to buy any more war bonds? That was just a tiny island. The continent of Europe is yet to come. The tempo of invasion is moving ever faster. That's why we have a fourth war loan drive. That's why every American who deserves that name will buy at least one extra war bond now. We must not only back the attack, we must help our boys to lead it. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Ronald Coleman and Greer Garson in Random Harvest. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Alan Ladd appeared through the cooperation of Paramount Pictures, whose current production is Miracle of Morgan's Creek. John Loder is currently seen in the Warner Brothers picture Old Acquaintance and is now making the Jules Levy production The Hairy Ape. Edgar Barrier is now seen in the Universal picture Flesh and Fantasy. Our music was directed by Louis Silvers. And this is your announcer, John M. Kennedy, reminding you to tune in again next Monday night to hear Ronald Coleman and Greer Garson in Random Harvest. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The HFC Student Activities Office can connect you with campus-wide events and concerts, varsity sports, theater, dance and musical performances, our on-campus art gallery, study abroad programs, and any of nearly 40 student organizations for you to join. The HFC Student Activities Office operates 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday in the fall and winter semesters, and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday in the summer semester. You can find the HFC Student Activities Office on campus in the M Building or call 313-845-9865. That's 313-845-9865.
This is Scott Boatwright. I would like to invite you to join me for my latest radio show on WHFR. It is called Cold Radio Fusion, every Tuesday nights from 10 p.m. until midnight. Each Tuesday of the month has its own rotating style of music. First Tuesdays, you can relax with experimental ambient sounds. Second Tuesdays, come headbang with me to most styles of metal. Third Tuesdays, dress in black and leather to enjoy goth, industrial, dark electronic club music. Finally, fourth Tuesdays, relax and chill with stoner doom sludge rock. That's Cold Radio Fusion every Tuesday nights from 10 p.m. until midnight, only on the station Making Waves. Listen on the internet at whfr.fm or on your FM dial A9.3 in the Detroit, Dearborn, Wayne County area.
Of Johnson's Wax present the first in new series of radio dramas, Attorney at Law, the story and adventures
hey,
of one...
Hey, wait a minute! What's the idea? Hold everything, Harlow! Hey, what's going on here anyway?
Why, Fibber, you're in Colorado.
I am?
Sure.
Well, then who's this wearing my pants? I am not in Colorado. I'm right here.
Now, take it easy. Take it easy.
Well, gee whiz.
But after all, my schedule says you're in Colorado on your vacation. So tonight, we're beginning the new Johnson Summer Show, Attorney at Law.
Okay, Harlow. Okay. If you say so, I am in Colorado. But don't be surprised if we get back while Billy Mills plays the opening number. What's it going to be?
Anything goes.
Come on, Sil. Let's get a running start down Pike's Peak.
Well, as long as you're here, you'd better get on with the show.
Okay, Harlow. Hey, who put this microphone up so high? I can't reach it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fibber. We had to raise the mic a little for Mr. Hunter.
Hunter? What is this, a game preserve? And where's that music rack I always lay my script on? And the little rag rug?
Oh, those. Mr. Hunter had them removed.
Say, who is this guy, Hunter, and what rights he got to be butting into this? What's going
Why,
on
don't
here?
You know? He's the young movie star we brought in from Hollywood to play the lead in Attorney at Law, our summer show. Nice guy, too.
Oh, yeah. Movie actor, huh? One of them profile boys with an open collar shirt and a slave bracelet, huh?
No, he isn't like that, but he is handsome. And can he act?
And he's the one that's going to take my place this summer, huh?
Yes. By the way, how long is your vacation?
9 weeks, Harlow. And I need every day of it, too. I'm all wore out.
Yeah, that's what I've heard people say.
What's your you mean by that crack?
Well, I was going to say, I hope your job is still here when you come back in the fall.
You mean they might keep this hunter on instead of me?
Yes, I do.
Well, come to think of it, Harlow, 9 weeks vacation is really more than anybody really needs. 6 or 7 weeks would do me just as well. No use being selfish about this thing. I can...
Pardon me, but is this the Henry Hunter program?
No, Dad Bratted, it ain't. This is the Fibber McGee program.
Oh, yes, that's the program that'll substitute for Mr. Hunter during the winter.
Yeah. Say, sis, who are you?
Why, I'm a... Oh, hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Well, hello there, Betty. Fibber, this is Miss Betty Winkler, who will play opposite Mr. Hunter on the Attorney at Law show. Oh. Betty, this is Fibber McGee, who used to be on this program.
Oh, I see. Well, how do you do, Mr. McGibber?
McFibber, sis. McGee. Hey, what you mean used to be on this show, Harlow?
Oh, I just meant you were taking a vacation.
Oh.
How long are you taking, Mr. McGibber?
McGee, sis. Well, I don't know. I'd planned on 9 weeks, but chucks, 4 or 5 weeks is all I need. just to relax a little is all. Hey, where are you going, sis?
Well, I must go and speak to Mr. Hunter. He'll be so amused to know I met you. Come on, Mr. Wilcox.
So, Hunter will be amused, will he? Attorney at law. Listen, Sil, I got to put this Hunter guy in his place, you see?
Well, how are you going to do that?
Well, the first thing, when we're introduced, I'll give him the old squeeze handshake. You know, shake hands with him and squeeze it till he hollers?
Yeah.
You guys are all a bunch of sissies. Then he'll start talking about what he done in pictures, and that's where you come in.
I do?
Yeah. When I ask you how my picture is doing, you say, Paramount says it's still tops at the box office. You got that?
That's what I said.
Yes. Now remember, Paramount says it's still tops at the box office. You got it?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now when that...
Say, Fibber, I want you to meet Mr. Henry Hunter.
Well... Hello, Fibber. Hello. I've heard a lot about you. I'm glad to meet you.
Hi, Bud. What was the name again?
Hunter. Henry Hunter. Henry's doing the Attorney at Law show, Fibber. Remember?
Oh, yes. Well, how are you, Hunter? Shake hands.
Ow! Oh, I'm so sorry. Did I hurt your hand?
Oh, no. I... That hand's got a little touch of writer's cramp from signing autographs. That's something you'll have to get used to in this business.
Yes,
Hunter.
Yes, I know. I understand you have done some picture work, too.
Who, me? Oh, shucks. Hunter, you see them there, 2 fingers there? Well, me and Adolf Zucker is just like that there.
I'll write to Mr. Zucker and tell him he needs a manicure. What was your last picture, Fibber?
Why, shucks, I don't know. I made so many pictures, it's kind of... Hey, Sil, how's that last picture of mine doing?
Paramount say it still flops at the box office.
By the way, how long is your vacation, Fibber?
Oh, I don't know, Hunter. Certain things has come up. That is, I don't think I ought to stay away too long. Well, I don't know. I think I'll just take a couple of weeks. That's enough vacation for anybody.
Well, I don't know about that. You've been on the air now about 6 or 7 months, haven't you?
6 or 7 months? We've been on the air for 167 consecutive broadcasts.
Really?
Really.
Well, say, you've earned a vacation. I think you'd better take a good long rest. Well, it's nice to meet you, Fibber. See you later.
Well, how did you like him, Fibber? Nice-looking fellow, isn't he?
Oh, I suppose. In a kind of a flashy way.
Hello, Fibber.
Oh, Billy Mills.
How are you enjoying your vacation?
Dad, Reddit, I ain't on my vacation. This is still my show till after tonight, you see?
Well, all right. But say, is that Attorney at Law program? Boy, colossal.
Sounds kind of dull to me. Attorney at Law. Legal stuff.
Oh, yeah? Listen, Fibber, after he's been on a couple of weeks, you'll need a writ of replevin to get your program back.
Oh, yeah? Don't make me laugh, Mills. Hey, Harlow, how do you get rid of Replevin?
I don't know, but I'll ask Hunter.
No. Don't do that.
By the way, Fibber, how long a vacation are you taking?
Well, Billy, I'll tell you. I was planning on a few weeks, but certain things have come up. I mean, I might be well advised to cut it a little short, so... Oh, well, I don't know. I think I better just take Saturday afternoon off. Go ahead, Billy. Sil, you got to help me pack up for this vacation.
Yes. Would you really scare Mr. Hunter to get you a job while you were gone, sir?
Oh, shucks, no, Sil. I was just kidding. I hope. Me and Molly are going to take a long vacation and enjoy ourselves.
Yes. You going to go on a long trip?
Well, yes, no, Sil.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Yes, if I do what I want, and no, if it costs what I think it's going to. What you going to do, Sil?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. McGee. As long as we get 9 weeks off, I think I'll spend the first week putting up a hammock and the next 8 sleeping in.
Well, personally, I'm going to fish, Sil, for big fish. Did you locate my fishing tackle?
Well, no, sir, but here's a real pretty traveling folder all about a trip to Guam. Here.
Well, that ain't Guam, that's Guam. That's near the island of Wacky.
That ain't Wacky, that's Wake.
Oh. Well, there's great fish in there anyway. You know, Sil, there's something about fish that gets you.
Yes, sir, there sure is, unless you put them right on ice.
Come in.
Hello there, Johnny. What you doing?
Fixing up stuff for my vacation, old-timer.
Me?
I said, hey, what did you want anyway?
Heard you were going fishing, Johnny. Wondered if you wanted to buy a pair of hip boots. Sell them to you cheap.
There must be something wrong with them.
There is. They leak.
Well, what would I want with them then?
You could use them out west, Johnny. Some of them streams have dried up.
Well, that's a very constructive thought. You haven't got a good canoe I could use on the Lincoln Highway, have you?
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to the other feller, see, says, see where the automobile company that broadcast the Lewis Smelling fight only had time to get in 2 commercial announcements. That's so, says the other feller. How can they run an 8-cylinder car on only 2 plugs? Yeah, I had a good one about Smelling, too, Johnny, but I didn't say he could take any more ribbing.
Say, Fibber, have you decided yet where you'll spend your vacation?
Well, no, Harlow, I ain't. All I know is I'm going where there's some fishing.
Well, I'm going on a whaling expedition myself.
A whaling expedition? Where'll I address it?
In that white space right under the stamp.
That white space under the... Well, that's taken care of for 9 weeks. Hey, Sil, you seen anything of my dry flies?
Dry flies?
Yeah, sure, you know. Them little feathery things you catch tree branches with when you cast for trout?
No, Mr. McGee, I don't know where that is. But I was reading in a paper where a man invented artificial bait that you can squeeze out of a little tube.
Oh, no. Not for me. I had a tube of that stuff, and I brushed my teeth with it by mistake one morning.
Did it make you feel bad?
Well, no, but when I walked past the fish market, I had a feeling I was being followed. What I really like, Sil, is freshwater fishing. I mind one time I took a boat from Hackensack to Mackinac.
And back?
Hackensack to Mackinac and back. If I'd have had a sailboat, I could have tacked to Mackinac and back to Hackensack. Say, let's kick that around a little bit, Sil. I think we got something there.
Hello, Fibber. What's up?
Oh, hi, Clark. Me and Sil are fixing up my stuff for a fishing trip.
Gee, that's great. Mm-hmm. What kind of fish you going after?
Old trout, bluegills, perch. I'm quite a percher myself. Yes, and a great bluegiller, too.
How about pike?
Oh, yes, I'm quite a piker, too. What you going to say, Clark?
Smoke gets in your eyes.
Oh, that's right. Folks, Clark Dennis, who has done such a great job on this program for the last year, sings Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, which was especially requested. Go ahead, Clark. Thank you, Clark. Don't go too far away now. We'll need you again in September. Now, let's see. I got to get that stuff.
Well, hello there, Fizzer and Silly Puss. What are you hanging yourself around here for? Aren't you supposing to be on a vacation, or am I labeling under a Miss Apple Dumpling?
You're a week off, Nick. I don't leave till next week.
And what is Mr. Johnson doing with the radio program? How is he telling everybody what kind of a Johnson's waxing to put on the linoleum bump?
Oh, they're putting on a great dramatic show this summer, Nick. Attorney at Law. Say, what's that book you got there, Nick?
Oh, this is a book I am loaning to me from the public raspberry. It is calling itself on the title page by the name of Jack and the Bumstick.
Oh, yes, I read that years ago. Now, if you don't mind, I got
to
make
You see, in this story, there is being a little boy, and his name is Jack. Yeah. And he is going to the marketplace to sell the cow because old Mother Hubble, who was not pitching for the Giants then, is going to the cupboard, and the cupboard is bare, so she is not giving the poor dog a bone to pick with you. And so Jackie is selling the heifer for whatever you can get with the bull market. You grab me?
Yeah, I know. He sold the cow for a handful of beans, didn't he?
Sure.
Yeah.
And when Jack is going home that night, his mama is saying, "Where is the money you were having for the cow, Squeegee?" And Jackie is being very well read in his face because he knows that a hat full of beans is not an aqueduct prices for a cowhide which is still having a cow inside of it.
Yeah, I remember. And when he gave the beans to his mother, she tossed them out the window.
Sure.
Yeah.
And in the morning, when he is seen in the garden by the bean sprite, which is sticking up out of the mother's earth and growing as fast as water off a back's duck.
Well, never mind the rest of it, Nick. I got to see about this fish.
Well, sir, Peter, the reminder of the story is being so exciting, I'm trembling in every limerick. It seems that this little boy, Jackie, is being a very impulsive kiddo, mm-hmm. So he is skinning up the bum stick like a chipmunky up a strapling.
He probably thought they were navy beans and was looking for the crow's nest.
Oh, don't tell me, Fizzer. I want it to be a surprise to you. Well, sir, then he is meeting a giant in it who is saying, "Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell you, Jackie, you little bum." And he is, too.
Yeah, but Chuck's Nick, everybody's heard about Jack.
What, sir? The giant is chasing Jack in the bum stick, and Jack is grabbing me a big jackpot of 14-carat gold pieces, and is sliding down the bum stick like a fireman going to a false alarm, with the giant chasing him because he is as mad as a hairnet.
Mad as a hornet.
Have it my way. And when Jack is getting safely to the bottom of the bum stick, he is giving his mama the gold pieces, and she is saying, "Now we are having to plant another bean, so you can go and get some silver, because the government is not letting people have some gold pieces, you bad boy."
Well, so long, Nick. I got to fix this fishing tackle up.
Well, so long, Fizzer. I hope I will see you again in September, unless this retorniate lawyer is being so good that Mr. Johnson is being satisfied with the bird in the hand and is giving you the bird in the bushes.
Our quartet, the Four Notes, aided and abetted by Billy Mills, sing "Johnny One Note." Pay it off, kids.
Johnny could only sing one note, and the note he sang was this. Ah, ah, ah. Oh, poor Johnny One Note sang out with gusto and just overlorded the place. Poor Johnny One Note yelled willy-nilly until he was blue in the face. For holding one note was his ace. Couldn't hear the brass, couldn't hear the drum. He was in a class by himself by gum. Poor Johnny One Note got in Aida, indeed a great chance to be brave. He took his one note out like the north wind, brought forth winds that made pretty trade. While Birdie turned round in his grave, couldn't hear the flute or the big trombone. Everyone was mute. Johnny stood alone. Cats and dogs stopped the yapping. Lions too were reading. Thunderclaps stopped the clapping. Traffic ceased its roar. Train whistles, boat whistles, steam whistles, cop whistles, bound to be still. Oh, sing Johnny One Note, sing out with gusto, and just overwhelm all the crowd. Sing Johnny One Note, sing out with gusto, and just overwhelm all the crowd. So sing Johnny One Note out loud. Sing Johnny One Note. Sing Johnny, sing Johnny, sing Johnny One Note out loud.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bibber has an important announcement to make at the end of this program. Be sure to hear it.
Well, come on, Sil. Let's get this fishing tackle all in one pile so that...
Yes, I sure wish I had gone with you this summer.
Ah, me too, Sil. It's going to be wonderful. Wading up a burbling brook, fighting my way past submerged logs, snakes, boulders, mosquitoes, and all stuff like that there.
afraid they're mosquitoes where you're going?
Yeah, but I got a mosquito lotion I mixed up myself. It's a compound of sulfurous oxidate with the infusion of carboarsenic in solution.
Well, do it keep mosquitoes off?
No, but it makes your face feel so numb you don't notice them. I remember little Crouch. Come in.
Hello there, Fibber.
Oh, Henry Hunter. Hi, Henry, old man.
Well, I see you're all set for a good summer of fishing. I used to do a good deal of that when I was in college.
Oh, you did, eh? Where'd you go to college, Henry?
In England.
Oh, yes. That was one of the movies you made, wasn't it, Henry? Hank at Oxford?
No, I just came in to wish you a very pleasant vacation, Fibber.
Well, thanks, Henry, and I hope you have a lot of success with attorney at law. I know you will.
You have to. Me too, Mr. Hunter, please.
Well, thank you, Fibber. And thank you, too, sir.
You know, I'll be listening to your show, Henry. And you better be good on that legal stuff, because I'll be checking out.
Oh, are you a legal expert?
Am I? Why, Bud, I've been a legal expert ever since I was just a boy. Why, even then, my name was news. Every time I appeared in court, it was plastered on every front page. Court Plaster McGee, I was known as in them days. Court Plaster McGee, the cleverest kid who ever kept a culprit from cooling in the calaboose, keen and cunning at coaxing clemency for my client by catching cagey cushions in contempt of court with my confusion cross-questioning, and collecting a colossal commission in the capacity of counselor, consulted by corporation capitalists, crafty criminals, and contemporary colleagues, and commonly considered by correspondents and critics as the King Kong of the courtroom, from the kangaroo courts of the California cattle country to the caper-cutting constables of colonial Connecticut. There you are, jurisprudence. Kick that around till September.
Oh, sure.
Now, folks, we've got a delightful surprise for you tonight, and I hope you'll all be as happy about it as I am. So many of you have inquired about Molly that I thought I'd get the best possible authority to answer you, Molly herself. And here she is.
Days, all that for me.
Well, it ain't for me.
It ain't funny, McGee. Well, folks, even though we're leaving for our summer vacation tonight, I just felt I had to come down and thank all of you for your wonderful letters and interest and all, and for being so nice to McGee while I was off the show. I hope you all have a pleasant summer and that we'll all be together again in September. By the way, McGee, there's somebody else here who wants to see you.
Huh? Who? Oh, hi, little girl. Oh,
hi, mister. Are you going on a vacation, are you,
You betcha, sis. Why'd you ask?
Sure.
Huh? Listen, you asked me if... I mean, you're the one... Well, why'd you want to know if I was going on a vacation?
Well, gee, I guess all the radio people are, betcha. Jack Benny and Eddie Cantor and Joe Penner and Town Hall tomorrow night and Good News and
Fibber McGee.
Sure, that's the good news. So long, mister.
So long, sis. Well, good night.
Good night, all.
Speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Glow Coat at Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you to be with us next Tuesday night at the same time when we bring you the first in a new series of thrilling dramatic stories, Attorney at Law, starring Henry Hunter with Betty Winkler.
And that's going to wrap it for another Radio Vault. We'll do it again in another week. And don't forget, Sunday Night Mysteries will... have some more suspense for you and maybe some scary stuff. That's Sunday between 9 and midnight. We'll talk to you next time. See ya. La, 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 la.
campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.